This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning. Two officers shot, one said to be in critical condition. November COVID numbers plummet, but COVID deaths hit 700. And the government considering making PCR tests mandatory for all travelers. It's all straight ahead this morning. I'm Dwight Strawn, and this is Morning Blend.
Wake up, it's a new day. Wake up. It's a new day. It's the start of a new way. It's the start of the end of the old way. Wake up, it's a new day. Wake up, it's a new day.
Good morning again, Bahamas. It is Monday, December 6th, 2021. This is Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9. Again, I'm Dwight Strawn. In a moment, Pamela Musgrove will be joining us. Also, this morning, we are going to be talking with Bark about the work they do and about the upcoming Pocket Golf Tournament. Plus, we've got another drawing of the Bahamas COVID vaccination raffle. And later in Morning Blend Business, we are talking about Bitcoin and cryptocurrency, the ins and the outs and the pros and the cons. We're going to get right down into it this morning. But first, it's time for the overnight, the latest breaking news from while you're sleeping and the top national and international headlines this morning. In the overnight, Commissioner of Police Paul Roll confirming that two police officers and a woman were shot last night. It happened on Peter Street around 9:30 p.m. Roll on his Twitter account saying that the shooters were driving a gray car, and he said the female reserve corporal was in critical condition as a result of the shooting. He asked the public to pray for them. Again, two police officers shot overnight and a woman. The Ministry of Education and Technical and Vocational Training making some announcements about end-of-year school closures. In a statement, the ministry says the final day for students to receive instruction for the Christmas term is Friday, December 10th, and the usual end-of-term examinations will not be held. The ministry is saying the National Report Card Day, originally scheduled for Thursday, December 16th, has been postponed, and that the last working day for teachers will be Friday, December 17th, with dismissal at noon. Teachers will return to work on Tuesday, January 4th. The ministry also saying that it's anticipated that students will be engaged in hybrid learning beginning Tuesday, January 11th, subject to approval by the Ministry of Wellness, Health and Wellness. It says that further details on the engagement of students in hybrid learning and the conduct of student assessment and new dates for the National Report Card Day will be provided at a later date. The government is considering whether to make RT-PCR COVID-19 tests mandatory for all travelers traveling to the Bahamas amid concerns over the new Omicron variant. Health and Wellness Minister Dr. Michael Darvall saying this yesterday, adding that a decision will be made by the end of the week. Fully vaccinated individuals traveling to the Bahamas are currently required to present an RT-PCR test or rapid antigen test that is no older than 5 days on the day of departure. Meanwhile, unvaccinated individuals are required to present an RT-PCR test that is no older than 5 days on the day of departure. After months of overwhelming COVID numbers, November figures showing a drastic drop in cases, hospitalizations, and deaths. 387 cases were recorded in November compared to 1,217 in October, 2,738 in September, and 3,540 in August. To date, 6 people have been confirmed to have died of COVID in November. 61 people have been confirmed to have died of COVID in October, and 165 in September, 143 in August. However, given that it can take some weeks for deaths to be confirmed, it's possible that November's toll will increase. As of Friday, 701 COVID deaths have been confirmed in the country since the start of the pandemic, while 146 people have been confirmed to have died with COVID but not because of it. Another 36 deaths are still under investigation. 16 COVID deaths were confirmed over the weekend. Of them, 11 occurred in September, 3 in October, and 2 in November. 15 of the victims were from New Providence and 1 from Grand Bahama. 8 of them were men and 8 were women, and they ranged from age from 53 to 91. And more than one in every 3 sexual offenses that went before the Supreme Court in the last decade was discharged because, in most cases, the long wait time for trial discouraged victims from wanting to move forward. That's according to Director of Public Prosecutions Garvin Gaskin, who called for the establishment of a court to focus on sexual offenses. Meanwhile, Bahamas Crisis Center Director Dr. Sanjadine Patterson estimating that 3 out of every 4 victims of sexual violence do not report the matter to police. She said many do not report the offenses as a result of shame, fear, guilt, and the belief that they are going to be talked about or stigmatized. And FNM leader Michael Pintard criticizing the government's decision to maintain the travel ban on 8 African countries while not imposing bans on North American and European countries that have also confirmed the presence of the new Omicron variant. He said health officials should have fairly uniform policies governing entry into the country, given the fact that the new variant is in multiple countries across time zones and socioeconomic brackets. Overseas, Italy is making life more uncomfortable for unvaccinated people this holiday season, excluding them from indoor restaurants, theaters, and museums starting today to reduce the spread of coronavirus and encourage vaccine skeptics to get their shots. Italian police can check whether diners and restaurants or bars have a super green health pass, certifying that they are either vaccinated or have recently recovered from the virus. Smartphone applications that check people's health pass status will be updated, and those who have merely tested negative in recent days for COVID will no longer be allowed into concerts, movies, or performances. The measures run through January 15th. Authorities also imposed a requirement for a basic health pass, which can be obtained with a negative test, on local transport and to check into hotels. In the capital, Rome, local transportation hubs were controlled by dozens of police, checking both green passes and personal identification, finding a cooperative mood among commuters. Still, a 50-year-old Roman became the first to receive a 400-euro fine after getting off the bus at a northern station, the Northern Flaminio station, without the basic health pass. Other commuters, knowing the absence of controls on local transportation throughout the pandemic, actually in agreement with that decision. In sports, back-to-back eagle shots on holes 14 and 15 by Victor Hovland of Norway, instrumental in helping him complete a comeback victory, enabling him to lift the trophy, the 2021 Hero World Cup World Challenge that wrapped up at Albany Golf Course yesterday. Hovland coming into the day 6 strokes behind third-round leader Colin Morikawa of the U.S. He finished 18 strokes under par, 270 at the end of 4 rounds of competition. You can read more about Hovland's win in today's Guardian Sports section. 8 Bahamian junior multi-event athletes unofficially punching their ticket to represent the Bahamas at the 2021 NACAC Age Group Championships. That's the North American, Central American, and Caribbean Athletic Association. That's set for December 17th through 18th in Nicaragua. You can read about those who've qualified in today's Guardian Sports section as well. From the NFL, the Pittsburgh Steelers turning away the Baltimore Ravens 20-19 after a failed two-point attempt. The Seattle Seahawks holding on late for a wild 30-23 win over the San Francisco 49ers. And the Kansas City Chiefs keeping the AFC West lead with a 22-9 victory over the Denver Broncos last night. That's sports, and that's the overnight. Time for your first look at weather. In sports, a surface trough meandering near the northwest Bahamas will trigger showers over portions of the islands. Meanwhile, a weakening ridge of high pressure draped across the area will support moderate to fresh breezes through tonight. Beachgoers should exercise caution due to the moderate risk of rip currents along eastern and southern shorelines, especially in the southeast Bahamas. For the northwestern islands today and the central Bahamas, look for partly sunny, very warm, and breezy conditions with passing showers, becoming partly cloudy and mild with widely scattered showers tonight. Wind southeast to south at 15 knots today, reducing to 10 to 15 knots, but falling light and variable at times tonight. Seas 3 to 5 feet, but subsiding to 2 to 4 feet by tonight. For the southeast Bahamas, mostly sunny, warm, and breezy with light, quick passing showers, turning mostly fair and breezy with a stray shower or two possible tonight. Small craft caution in effect. Winds east to southeast at 15 to 20 knots, but gusty at times, seas 4 to 7 feet. Temperatures are getting warmer. We're looking at highs getting up to 85 Fahrenheit, 29 Celsius. Overnight lows tonight getting down to about 70 Fahrenheit, 21 Celsius. The warm weather is back, folks. I'll tell you how long it's going to last coming up in your extended outlook after traffic in just a bit. You're listening to Morning Blend. When we come back, we're discussing the day's top stories right here on your home for fresh news and smart talk all day, Guardian Radio 96.9.
RBC has been growing with the Bahamas for over 110 years. We are committed to deepening our relationship with existing clients and forging new ones in the future. With investments in youth, education, and environmental initiatives, we're dedicated to helping you and our communities grow.
We're here to help you flourish. We're RBC.
RBC Royal Bank.
Janae's Christmas Wonderland is open under the Big Ten. Get 20 to 50% off selected Christmas decorations. Restrictions apply. Trees in pink, frosted green or white in a variety of sizes. LED and laser lights, a large variety of tree ornaments. Lighted angels, Santa tree toppers, bright and lively colored Christmas balls. Garlands, wreaths, red and white stringed cranberry. Tree skirts, stockings, and lots, lots more. Add flowers, picks, and decorative mesh to brighten up your home or office this holiday season. And don't forget the toys at Janae's Chesapeake Road. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Janae's Limited. WhatsApp 817- 3295.
You can win. You can win. Everybody can win with Esso this Christmas.
Win with Esso every week in the Philip and Win this Christmas promotion. Simply spend $25 or more in fuel, write your name, email, and telephone number on the back of your receipt and drop it in the entry box provided for your chance to win loads of weekly prizes. Promotion ends December 22nd, 2021. Terms and conditions apply. Visit bettergasmileage.com/Philip and Win for more details. The Esso brand is a trademark of ExxonMobil Corporation and is used under license.
Food security is a challenge for many. Now in a pandemic, many more are unsure of their next meal. Through their Feed 5000 program and a $20,000 donation, AML is working to ensure that everyone has a meal for the holidays, and they're inviting you to help. Now until December 17th, visit any Solomon's, Costrite, Fresh Market, or Domino's in Nassau or Freeport, and Exuma Markets in Georgetown to donate and help feed a family in need this Christmas. No amount is too small. Remember, we're all in this together.
You've heard about the 12 days of Christmas, but this year, Rem is giving you even more Christmas with 31 days of giveaways. Simply sign up or upgrade to Trio or pay your Rev bill in full. Then listen to yours truly, the Natural Empress, and Free Your Mind every weekday to find out if you've won prizes like 55-inch smart TVs and up to $20,000 in cold hard cash. Call 601-8992 today. Rev, you and us together.
Technology makes every day in life just a little bit easier. Whether it's for joy, productivity, or creativity, Custom Computers has all the latest gadgets to conquer any obstacle. Imagine automating mundane tasks with tech and living a freer, richer lifestyle, all while staying on top of your goals. The path to freedom could fit in the palm of your hand. Discover tomorrow's technology today at Custom Computers on Patton Street, Cable Beach, and Caves Village through the Blake Road entrance.
We are working to protect our country, our people, and our livelihoods so that we can move forward. The vaccine is safe. The vaccine is easy. The vaccine is essential for our recovery. If we want to rebuild our economy, if we want to get back to our jobs, if we want to get back to our lives, our families, we must do this. Together.
What does Christmas mean to you? What about the joy and satisfaction you get in starting the home projects you've wanted to do all year? CIBC First Caribbean helps you make your Christmas wishes come true with easy and flexible financing on personal loans. Apply online and smile all the way this holiday season. Visit CIBCFCIB.com for more information. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Wake up, it's a new day. Wake up, it's a new day. It's the start of the start of a new way. It's the start of the end of the old way. Wake up, it's a new day. Wake up, it's a new day. It's a new day. Wake up, it's a new day. Wake up, wake up.
Welcome back to Morning Blend here on Guardian Radio 96.9. We are streaming live on GuardianTalkRadio.com and on the Guardian Radio app for smart devices. We're also on your televisions on Cable Bahamas Channel 969. At BTC Flow Channel 612. You can tweet us at MorningBlend969 or Facebook.com/MorningBlend969. Text us on the Guardian Radio text line powered by BTC 422-4796. Standard text rates apply. Coming up this morning, more weather and traffic. In our 8 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking with the folks at BARC about the work they do with animals in our country and about their upcoming Potcake Golf Tournament. And later, that we've got another drawing of the Bahamas COVID vaccination raffle. And then in our 9 o'clock hour Morning Glen Business, we're going to be talking about Bitcoin and cryptocurrency and whether this is the time for you to be investing in it, what you need to know, what you need to avoid, all of that we're going to try to get into this morning. So a lot to get to on this Monday morning. Let's begin with what's in the news. In the news, as Pamela Musgrove joins us now. Good morning, Pam. Great
good
to have you with us.
Good morning, Dwight. Good morning, Bahamas.
All right, so there's a little head-scratcher here. Okay, so we got word yesterday, according to a tweet from the Commissioner of Police, and it's in the NASA Guardian today, that that two police officers and a woman had been shot on Peter Street around 9:30 p.m. by some people in a small gray car, and that the female reserve corporal is listed in critical condition, and please pray for them. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That was a tweet.
Mm-hmm.
Tweet has disappeared.
Right.
She's taken it down.
Mm-hmm. Is it in the police report this morning? Normally they send you a report, a daily report,
normally,
right?
Normally, Pat, really? Normally? No. But the police groups are quiet about it. So I don't know if it was a mistake. That's a big mistake for the commissioner to make. I don't know what's going on. We're going to try to find out what's happening there. But that was what he put out there. Again, it's no longer there. Instead, there are just pictures of some events from yesterday.
Hmm. Well, it could be the account was hacked. Could be any number of reasons.
That's a good story. Likely. Okay. Anyway, so some people shouldn't have Twitter accounts. That's all. We're going to find out what's going on, though.
These things are managed by professionals.
Oh, yeah. Where? You mean in real countries?
Well, they should be managed by professionals, not necessarily you sitting at your account and making statements, but professionally managed.
Hmm. Okay. We'll find out what's going on. We're going to find out what's going on there. Very odd. Very odd. Very strange. Very strange. Hmm. a lot of officials have suddenly appeared on Twitter in the last month.
But like I said, those councils are not necessarily managed by the official. They have a team managing those accounts.
You mean in the real world? Because I don't know if that's the way it is here.
Well, it should be. I hate to think that the commissioner is sitting at his computer and he is sending out tweets. Normally those accounts, especially when you're making official statement, they are managed by, they go through a process. And once they go through that process, you will prevent a lot of errors if you go through that process.
Indeed.
But now if you do that yourself, you could, you know, you could have some mistakes.
A lot of people following Donald Trump's Trump's lead there, you know.
Well, we see what happened to Trump,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. Is he back on Twitter yet?
I don't know. I doubt it. No, I don't think so. Yeah.
Well, okay. Somebody's asking, how many women were shot? You reported that two police officers and a woman. Yeah, so it seems, I don't even know if it's real now, but there's a one of the officers was a woman, according to what was said.
Mm-hmm.
But, okay. Anyway. Let's move on. Also in the news, the Ministry of Education announcing what they're going to be doing for the school year, the end of the school term, and the school term in a few days. The final day for students to receive instruction for the Christmas term is Friday, the 10th of December. That's Friday, this week, Friday, isn't it? Yeah. And the usual end of term examinations will not be held. Not be held. The National Report Card Day, originally scheduled for Thursday, the 16th of December, has been postponed. And the last working day for teachers will be Friday, the 17th of December, with dismissal at noon. Teachers will report to work on Tuesday, January 4th next year. And it's anticipated that the hybrid learning system will be put in place, and students will begin with that on Tuesday, January 11th, after the majority rule holiday on the 10th. And that's subject to approval by the Ministry of Health. Now, the Ministry is also saying that, and this was also on their Twitter page, further details related to the engagement of students in hybrid learning, the conduct of student assessment, and new dates for the National Report Card Day will be provided at a later date.
I don't like that. I know they said there was a consensus, but did they have representative from the parents of the Parents Association as a part of the...
Is that a thing?
Yeah, I mean, they said it was not a unilateral decision, but it was a unilateral from the government and the union perspective. What about parents? Yeah. Why aren't they having these exams? Why is it that private schools in this country can see progress? They're not all perfect, but they can achieve a level of progress when public schools... It makes no sense to me. Maybe if these schools were in a different country and you say, well, okay, the circumstances are different, but you have private schools that are achieving the success. They had the hybrid. At one point, they were all at home. But yet, at the end of the year, now you're saying public school students, you know, there's a different standard for public school students. Okay, you're not going to get your report card. Yes, there were a lot of students who were not signing on, and I think that should have been a process that was managed throughout the term. You shouldn't wait until the end of the year and say, oh, well, you know, a lot of students didn't sign on.
Right?
There should have been a body, a grouping, looking at that. How can we correct that? And there were students who signed on in the public school system who did the work, and they worked hard. And now they're going to be penalized because there were persons who didn't sign on, and we did nothing to correct that throughout the term. And we wait for the end of the year and say, well, y'all won't get your report card. There will be no test. I think that's unacceptable. Totally.
Yeah, it is very disturbing. What do you make of it, folks? What are your views on this? Would the results have been horrible? Is that what the fair is, that... so little was covered, or so few were, as you say, participating, that it just wouldn't make any sense.
That's my point. Why?
Mm-hmm.
It's not sufficient to say persons didn't sign on, and so we are, why? Because I'm sure if you had, even if you had 50% of the students that didn't sign on, the other 50 did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, what are we going to do to catch up? I remember it, I think it was early in the year after the public schools in the UK were locked down, you know, the Prime Minister Boris Johnson sent out requests to get tutors. So they were looking for private tutors, and the public schools were like, no, give our teachers an opportunity, and they worked overtime to help students catch up.
Right.
So by delaying the end of term exams, what are you going to do to help the ones who didn't sign on catch up so they could all take it? Because I don't think they're going to be able to catch up.
No.
So why penalize those who showed up?
This is a tough one. 323-6232. 325-4316, 325-4259. Tweet us, Facebook us, text us, 422-4796. Tell us what you think about this situation. How far back are these students going to be? Will they be able to catch up at all? This is the question. Will some people, I know we avoided that last year, and it probably shouldn't have been avoided, but will some people need to do this year over? Or last year over. We are very much worried about what this is going to look like in 5-10 years once these students are out in the workforce.
Well, we already had a situation in the country where persons were saying, you know, people were graduating without the basic skills needed just to have entry level position.
Exactly. Before Dorian.
Before
the pandemic. Yeah.
And this is just going to make it worse. And then you get the sense from the ministry that they're trying to downplay this D average, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, why are we talking about a D average? I think it's good to know where you are. Mm-hmm. If the average is D, fine. If the average is E, fine. Once we know where we are, we can work to improve it. But if we try to downplay where we really are, then we can't. What are we going to do to improve the circumstances or the situation?
Yeah. Well, they always say that's just the exam, and that doesn't mean anything. And
plus making excuses, mm-hmm. but not correcting the problem.
Yeah, and as we've said a million times, fixing that scale so that the psychological effect of a D, right? Because a D means something different on this exam than it does in your regular school life, and that just doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense at all where D is usually a fail for that to be on this exam with the BGCSE supposedly a pass, which it is. But yeah, that has not been working and has been causing psychological trauma for a lot of people. All right, let's see what this caller has to say. Good morning, caller, and morning, Blend.
Yeah, good morning, Dwight and Pam. How are you
good morning.
Doing well.
Question. So the students that have reached this in the last 2 years, the grades 11 and 12, what happened to them? I guess they just threw them out of school.
I don't know. I mean, I know they took the BGCSEs last year, so that was good for those who wanted to take it. They took those.
I'm talking about the 50% that couldn't get the sign on. What happens to them?
Yeah.
I guess they just must be, I don't know, give them a big piece of paper and tell them to finish school in the 10th grade, 11th or 10th grade.
Well, you know, the ministry can't take full responsibility for all of that, right? There are a lot of parents who know fully well their students have not been doing anything. And so there's a lot of blame to go around for this. A lot.
Right. I just don't understand. Taking the statistics, the data, like Fial and them always say, male, black male and them, taking the data, how many children under the age of 18 have this pandemic seriously affected? How many? Do we have a count? Because if my memory serves me correct, it's less than about 20.
What do you mean
so
by that?
Why
in terms
not
of
put
what?
Them children back in school like Palm State? This thing ain't really affecting these young people. All the private schools are in. I have nieces and things. We mm-hmm. pick them up and drop them mm-hmm. to private school every day in their uniforms. Mm-hmm. this ain't really affecting them young people. Mm. There are less teachers and there are less parents than children that have to go to these schools. So if you're afraid of the teachers, get them fully vaccinated. Get the parents who are afraid fully vaccinated and let them children go back to school, man. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay. All right. Well, they'll begin the transition toward that in January. But we will see. Continue to call in 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Tweet us, Facebook us, text us, 422-4796. But when they get back there, what are they going to meet? Where are they going to meet? Are they going to be prepared? Are they going to have to go back over the last 2 years? It's not like you could just pick up where you left. Well, pick up where you left off.
But that's why I said why. And is there any planning being done to correct a lot of the issues? Because there's a lot. But you have to work towards it. You just can't sit down, fold your arms, and then you get back there and just start off where you left over 18 months ago.
No.
And parents should be involved.
Mm-hmm.
Parents of these students should be involved in the conversation.
Yeah, yeah. Some text messages here. Someone says, it might be that the merchants told the Ministry of Education not to anger the parents with bad grades. Oh. So stop talking foolishness now, please. Okay, let's not do this. Anyway, I'm not going to even finish your text. But I appreciate you. I think you were trying to add some levity to the situation, but not today.
So that's why I did it.
Anyway, on this one here, Dwight and Pam, we need to be honest. Most adults wouldn't be able to pass most of the school exams today. What now? Who? What? This is a wasted opportunity to change the structure of our education system.
I think what you have to remember, right? Private schools are surviving and thriving.
Well, what are they suggesting then? Because a lot of people can't pass, that we need to...
Well, whatever reform to the system. No, I don't know.
I'm
guessing he's saying the system needs to be reformed.
But as you said, this was an opportunity. Lots of students who are doing very well and are getting great grades, even in the public system. So that's not it. That's not it. It needs to be modernized.
Yeah, there needs to be reformed.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. Mm. You can't be doing the same thing you did back in the 50s and 60s.
Or even in the past 2 years.
That's right. That's right.
In the past 2 years.
Technology has changed so much. And we have to prepare our students for the way of the world. We're seeing the changes as a result of this pandemic, right? Are our students prepared for this? But I'm dumbing it down. No. This one here. I'm an educator. I fully agree with the Ministry of Education on this one. Private schools had examinations face-to-face. The Ministry of Education was initially going to have virtual exams. Virtual exams are not valid. Many parents were completing the assignments for the children who were working virtually. Can you imagine the exams? I stand with the MOE.
But they said private schools were having exams face-to-face. Mm-hmm. How is it that private schools can have exams face-to-face?
Yeah. Well, they got
but the public school system cannot even have an exam,
Much fewer students.
Yeah, but then you can break it up. That's all a part of planning. Mm-hmm. If the public schools had 300 students to take the exam, then you can organize on different days or you can use different schools. You can be creative in making it happen.
Yeah.
As opposed to throwing your hands up and say, you think this is a good thing to say, oh, no exams, don't worry about it.
Yeah. Hmm. They go on to say the children need to be assessed when they return face to face under a controlled atmosphere.
Okay, they need to be assessed. What does that mean? Hmm. Are they gonna create an assessment exam for each student in each year? Hmm. What are they going to do? Are they going to go back to prior to the pandemic and test them to see where they are at?
Good questions.
What does
good
that
questions.
Mean?
Yep. This one here, schooling is mandatory in our country. We sat back and allowed children to run up and down the streets unchecked, and now other children must suffer?
Exactly. I don't. That's not fair for those who showed up and made the effort. Mm. That's not fair.
Yeah. This texter here, everyone is at fault, especially educators, huh? Hence, that's where we are. When would the nation's children for both private and public schools have the awards for those with 5 BJCs and BGCSEs? Okay. But the educators are most at fault, you sure? Like I said, there's enough blame to go around, but...
My thing is we have to start blaming so we could fix.
Yeah.
If we just keep talking around the problem, then we just keep talking about the problem and nothing is done. Mm-hmm. So let's cast blame. Who are the persons at fault? And then let's zoom in and say, okay, how can we fix this? How can we improve this? So that next time we wouldn't have this situation. Yeah. But if we keep talking and not wanting to put blame on where it's supposed to be, we don't solve the problem, and then we have this vicious cycle mm-hmm. that continues.
Well, everybody walk to the nearest mirror, look in that, and there you go. Blame that person. Mm-hmm. All right. Someone says, some schools have been running programs nonstop to get students online. We have a lack of parental involvement, as we did before the pandemic. The educational system is broken, and it doesn't matter which government is in power. No one has been able to fix it. It's a disturbing cycle. Well, as we keep saying, there are a lot of students who are doing very well. Mm-hmm. Talk to them. Find out what the difference is, what's key there.
They should not be penalized.
They shouldn't. But what sets them apart from the other students who aren't doing well, who have fallen through the cracks, they have involved parents mm-hmm. or guardians. There's somebody actively involved in their education. Actively, regardless of whether their school is open, regardless of their teachers. I mean, that's a big part of it, too. Big, big, big part. But they have actively involved parents. Caller, good morning. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning. How are you all doing?
Doing well. Good morning.
Okay, and good morning to the nation. Listening to Palm, Dwight, I understand some of the points, or I appreciate is what I should say, some of the points you're making, Palm, but I don't think you're thinking wide enough. And Dwight, when you look at the fact that there are challenges, even in the private school under normal conditions, as well as with the government school system under normal conditions, one would appreciate very much that at the end of the day, wherever the shortfalls are, there are going to be a lot more shortfalls on the government side of the education system than there would be on the private schooling side of the education system in our country. And that would remain true the world over. Naturally, you would have more resources taking place on the private side of the education system in our country than you would on the government side. And then there are other factors, and these are not excuses. These are simple truths and realities. You have other factors that would be facing parents, in particular parents who are less fortunate and are more challenged to provide that home atmosphere where the education process can continue uninterrupted or unabated, right? And you would have that more so taking place successfully on the private side of the education spectrum than you would on the government side. Of course, listening to the statement that you read this morning, Dwight, I can appreciate and palm fully what is being attempted to be done. And I believe that it is the correct, the comprehensive, and the right approach, which is we need to put a stop to this gap that is taking place. We need a stop measure, a stop gap measure to close the gap in the disadvantaging of our students and placing them in a precarious position as it relates to moving forward to university. And so naturally, if you're going to do that, you have to assess where your students are, right? You have to take control of what's happening in the education system by assessing where your children are so that you can develop the program to help to bring them up to speed. That's common sense. That's intuitive. And I believe that's strategic. Okay. It makes sense to my mind. And so I can appreciate what the current minister of education is seeking to do in that regard. Where I see the problem happening, Pam, Dwight, and to the nation, is we have allowed for so much of this mess to occur that almost two generations of students has passed through high schools to this point, and they were not afforded every advantage to get ahead or to get up to speed at least. Okay. But thankfully, at least the University of the Bahamas locally, and I think the education system may have been trying to work out with international universities for students who are disadvantaged during the COVID pandemic to be able to get accepted using other means, which I think Belinda Wilson would have been trying to discuss on your show on several occasions, Dwight.
Yeah, okay.
So to conclude, Dwight, mm-hmm. I appreciate what the current Minister of Education is seeking to do to put a stopgap measure in place to ensure that the assessment takes place so that they can understand where the students are and she can ensure that a program is developed to bring our students up to speed. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks a lot. Thank you.
So with all of those challenges that we have, the solution is to not have the end of term exam and to not have a report card day. That's the solution in the public school system.
And assess later.
Yeah, you can assess. You can assess while that's going on.
God help us. That's all I have to say about this. But
that's the only one who can.
Because we're in a terrible
that's
place.
That's the only one who can.
Terrible, terrible place. A few more messages before we take a break. Someone says here, check the supermarkets in the mornings, and you're sure to find out why a lot of students aren't signing on to online learning. We need to do something about that.
But back in the day, didn't we have truancy offices?
Mm-hmm.
And what was the purpose of those offices? To ensure that children went to school, because education at that time was still mandatory, right? So maybe we don't have it like we had it back then, right? But we need something. We can't.
No, they're going to come with excuses. They'll say, "Oh no, we don't have class today. Mine is tomorrow because we're on a shift system type thing." That'll be the excuse if a truancy officer were to ask one of these students in a store or out on the street or with their parents, "Why aren't you in school?" Yeah. Oh, no. My virtual classes are tomorrow. I've heard that. I've actually heard that before.
I'm just saying in general, they were there for a purpose.
Yeah.
That the reason has not gone away.
Well,
we still need to ensure that students are in school.
Yeah. It's easier for them to give you an excuse now.
I agree. Yeah. But when the pandemic is over, prior to the pandemic, we had the same problem.
We did.
Maybe not to this extent, but the problem existed. Maybe the role just need to be reformed so that you have officers who ensure that students are in school.
Yeah, yeah. This text here, the use of blame is the reason people avoid accountability. There were a number of challenges. Let's outline and reduce them. This isn't about blame, but the obstacles to success. An education support program facilitator. Okay. This one says, my niece called children in her class who were not signing in for school, and they swore at her with the worst words you can imagine. Your niece is a teacher, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy, yeah. And then that's when the parents need to be called or brought in, right? And then what?
We know there are some parents who don't care, Dwight.
A lot.
So should the parents who care be penalized for parents who do not care?
No.
We know that.
This one says, if the parents are not being responsible with their children, something needs to change. This is going to have an adverse effect on the country in years to come. Are we now breeding criminals for the future? I will say it again. We need truancy officers.
We need something. If you don't want to, if persons don't want that, we need something.
Yeah. I blame the ministry. How much of the budget is spent on administration and technocrats and nothing changes? Where's the innovation or accountability? Okay. I don't want to hear the excuses. As a country, we are failing our children. Another one. Pam, I'm with you on this one. The reality is we all have been dealing with the pandemic for nearly 2 years now. Everyone by now should have gotten their act together. If not, the pandemic issues aren't the problem. Yeah, you know, people use this as an excuse. They don't like the virtual learning, and it's not good for him or her, my child, and they prefer face-to-face. But hey, many people, grown adults, have not gone into an office in months, years, right? This could be how we work in the future. Everybody in their space, virtually working. So if they can't get used to it now, then what will that mean for their future as well, right? Those excuses are not acceptable. They've not been acceptable. And as the texter says, we said earlier, we're going to regret this. 5-10 years, you're going to see this.
I think we're regretting it now.
I'm confused as to why there's a text. Why there is no face-to-face learning in the Bahamas. We have face-to-face learning here in the Turks and Caicos in September with great success.
Well, see, the thing to that is, my nephew has been going to school face-to-face since January.
January.
Of this year.
Okay.
He's been going face-to-face since January. And when you drop him off, lots of cars lined off, dropping their kids off for face-to-face learning.
How big are the class sizes, though?
The class sizes are relatively small, but then they have a lot of class sizes.
Yeah.
A lot of classes.
Yeah.
Right.
Let's take that call. Is that a call there? Yep. Good morning, caller. You're on the air. Are you there? Do we have you holding too long? Yep, okay. This one here, there's an accepted double standard in this country when it comes to the POP and the FNM. What now? Who, what, where, what? Who's talking about them? The FNM can never get away with what the PLP does. Oh, boy. It is so blatant that Carnival can't... Now, what is this? What are you talking about? Who's talking about this stuff? Who's talking about this stuff? If it was the last administration, the media and some union leaders would have been demanding, you are very confused and clearly just moved here from some other part of the planet or maybe another planet. I don't know, Dexter, but you don't know what you're talking about. And ask the Christie administration how they feel about the media. Guardian Radio was mentioned in the House Assembly countless times as being here to destroy them. So no. And that was not true, of course. But so no, we called them out on their garbage. Mm-hmm. Carnival, really, seriously, get over it. It was going to happen. It was clear. Somebody, are you really?
The lights are pretty.
Don't go if you don't want to go.
The lights are pretty.
Yes, no, don't go. Don't go. If you're afraid, don't go. Don't go.
Exactly.
Don't go. But exactly. It was going to happen. Who was surprised? But seriously, let's not be silly.
But see, I think when you look at it, here it is. We can have Carnival, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
But then we don't want in the public school system the kids to go to school.
Right.
You see my point?
Yeah.
So it's just now that in a sense is a double standard.
Very much so.
Here it is. And Carnival is nice. That's fine. Cause you know, we need a stress reliever, mm-hmm. you know, something to laugh and be excited about. And that's okay. I have no issues with that, but we can have this in the midst of a pandemic, but the kids, mm-hmm. no, don't go to school, even though you know a system that's not working.
Yeah.
And you know the effects this will have on the country.
But
it
is very different, though. It is outside. There's a lot of fresh air. You, even if you're on a ride, you can be spaced out.
It's the perception.
Yeah.
It's the perception.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We're allowing this where you're going to have people coming together to have fun. I have no problems with that.
Yeah.
But then we are doing nothing or not enough to get the kids in public school to face-to-face learning.
Yeah. This text here, I'm so sorry this mess was created by the previous minister and director. Well, really? Okay. I cannot understand why the director is still in place. Man, you all not being fair. Not being fair. The government can lock us down and police our movements, so tell me why they cannot police truant kids. That's a different story. We've got two different issues here, right? Virtual learning done to help and secure people to make us safe. Right, because a lot of these children aren't vaccinated, won't be vaccinated. The parents aren't interested in vaccinating them, and we've seen it before. The young people bring it home to adults and get them sick. Right, so that was what the reasoning was. Now, why the kids are out on the street is a different story. That's a different story, and that is very hard to police when, as we've heard, it's 40 to 50% of them. Very difficult, and they're with their parents. Every day you see them with the parents. During weekdays. And as the previous texter said, working in stores, doing all manner of things.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening all over. You'd need every single person in the country to be a truant officer.
So they're working in stores and dealing with customers,
mm-hmm.
but there's a problem for them to go to school.
So they don't want to be on virtual.
If you have the facilities in place, if you have the water fountains to ensure they wash their hands continuously, if you have mm-hmm. plexiglass, the teachers wanted plexiglass around their desk, yeah. that's... You know, particularly you put these measures in place to help as much as possible to protect them.
Yeah, well, they say January. But in the meantime, log on.
Yeah, but now you're not taking end of term exams and you're not getting a report card because a lot of students didn't log on.
Mm-hmm.
That, what I say, is unacceptable. For those who did and made the effort, then give them their grades. Allow them to take the test.
Someone says, you're missing the point, Dwight. How can the Carnival come and set up with no government approval? Well, if you believe that, then carry on smartly. But don't believe all that. Don't believe all that. Let's take a break. When we come back, more on this and more on of what else is making the news, including what National Security Minister Wayne Monroe is saying about the sex offenders register and how that would work and how it won't work. Very interesting comments from him. We'll get to that in just a bit. This is Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9.
Johnny, get Christmas coming. Mama, beg you, Johnny, get Christmas coming. Christmas coming, Christmas coming. Christmas coming, Christmas coming.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Coronavirus update. I'm Rita Foley with an AP News Minute. Health officials say the Omicron variant of the coronavirus is spreading fast through the country, but early indications suggest it may be less dangerous than the Delta variant. Surgeon General Dr. Vivek Murthy says he thinks the available vaccines will offer some protection against the Omicron variant, telling Fox News Sunday.
Even though we're trying to figure out the exact level of protection our vaccines will give against Omicron, in every case we have seen the vaccinated are better off and particularly more protected against hospitalization and death than the unvaccinated.
Bottom line,
that's why we're urging people to get vaccinated and boosted.
Omicron has been detected in about one third of the states from the East Coast to the West. Overseas, Italy is keeping the unvaccinated out of indoor restaurants, theaters, and museums starting today. The idea is to reduce the spread of coronavirus and to encourage vaccine skeptics to get their shots. I'm Rita Foley.
Time for your first look at traffic for this morning, brought to you by RBC Royal Bank. In your real-time traffic at this hour, as usual, we've got your hot spots, Mile Butler Highway. Heavy traffic this morning from Fire Trail all the way from Fire Trail up to Tawny Flume's Darling Highway on Milo Butler Highway. In fact, it's well south of the roundabout with Fire Trail, the traffic in the northbound lanes there, so we're going to see some delays there. And traffic is backed up as well on Tawny Flume's Darling Highway. Glastonbury looking a lot better for you on your run into that traffic, but midway between Fire Trail and John Candy Drive. Elsewhere, we're seeing building traffic on Blue Hill Road, especially north of Soldier Road and near the junction with Carmichael Road. And then Soldier, as you get closer to Windsor Place, mainly in the northeastbound lane. And then Prince Charles Drive near Beatrice Avenue and Prince Charles Drive near Elizabeth Estates and Fox Hill Road. Those are your hot spots so far. Building traffic at some other spots are going to get busier in the next hour, like Eastern Road as well. And just a reminder of the work that's going on a couple of spots. West Bay Street, that's expected to be winding down soon. The paving between Marcus Bethel Way and Chippingham Road. And then Claridge Road, major work going on there between Wolf and Robinson, the whole stretch of Claridge Road. And there are closures. You're asked to avoid the area if you can. That's real-time traffic and your Morning Glen Traffic Alert brought to you by RBC Royal Bank, banking reimagined. And we've got another check of your weather for this morning brought to you by John Bull. A surface trough meandering near the northwest Bahamas will trigger showers over portions of the islands. Meanwhile, a weak ridge of high pressure draped across the area will support moderate to fresh breezes through tonight. For the northwest and central Bahamas today, look for partly sunny, very warm, and breezy conditions with passing showers, becoming partly cloudy and mild with widely scattered showers tonight. For the southeast Bahamas, mostly sunny, warm, and breezy with light, quick passing showers, turning mostly fair and breezy with stray showers or 2, possible tonight. Smokecraft caution in effect. Another hot day in store. Highs getting up to 85 Fahrenheit, 29 Celsius. Overnight lows tonight getting down to about 70 Fahrenheit, 21 Celsius. How long will this warm spell be around? Well, the trough will continue to linger near the northwest Bahamas before gradually weakening as the surface trough, the surface ridge remains anchored across the country through at least midweek. So for tomorrow, Tuesday, partly sunny and warm again with isolated showers, pretty much the same for Wednesday. That's your morning blend weather check brought to you by John Bull. Tis the season to shop John Bull. Every $50 spent gives you the chance to be one of 24 winners for a $500 gift card. Daily gift card winners will then vie for the grand prize of a $5,000 gift card. See in store for details. Believe in joy, the joy of John Bull.
Of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
With BTC Business's new smart solutions powered by super fast, reliable broadband, you'll feel like there are more versions of you working for you. From website design, development and digital marketing to promote your business, 24/7 business class support to cloud solutions, security and more. Multiply your growth today.
You've tried everything. ASUS with your mother's cousin's sister's auntie and even hiding your money under your mattress. But is your money safe? Your Bahamian dollar deposit in a member bank or credit union is insured up to $50,000. If anything happens, your deposit up to the insured value will be returned to you thanks to Deposit Insurance. Visit Deposit Insurance Corporation at www.dic.bs.
Protection for your money guaranteed with DIC.
The Bahamas welcomes its newest and best savings store. It's Discounts Galore. From discounted cleaning products to discounted disposable products to discounted health, personal, and skincare products. For those new mothers, we have specially discounted baby accessories. And finally, just in time for Christmas, discounted toys and novelty items. Conveniently located on Mackey Street opposite Carrie's Fabric Store. Come see us at Discounts Galore, your savings store.
When engaging in physical activity, it is normal for the body to get tired and fatigued. In the same way, COVID-19 has brought on fatigue, but we must not give up the fight. Wear your mask over your mouth and nose, stay at least 3 feet apart from others, wash and sanitize your hands often, and avoid touching your face. Together, we will win.
This message is brought to you by the PAHO WHO, Bahamas and Turks and Caicos Country Office, the Ministry of Health, and the Healthy Bahamas Coalition.
Unlock the value of your home with an RBC Home Equity Loan and do more for the holidays, like home improvements, investments, and build back your savings. When you switch your mortgage to RBC, experience the difference with no management fees, cash back on closing costs, and guidance from our mobile mortgage finance specialists. Learn more at rbc.com/Caribbean/equity loan and experience holiday joy with RBC. Offer extended to December 31st. Conditions apply.
Technology makes every day in life just a little bit easier. Whether it's for joy, productivity, or creativity, Custom Computers has all the latest gadgets to conquer any obstacle. Imagine automating mundane tasks with tech and living a freer, richer lifestyle, all while staying on top of your goals. The path to freedom could fit in the palm of your hand. Discover tomorrow's technology today at Custom Computers on Patton Street, Cable Beach, and Caves Village through the Blake Road entrance.
It's a different kind of Christmas, but everything is here.
Yes, everything is here at ShopSmart Department Stores. Two locations just for you. One on Mackey Street next to RBC and in the Prince Charles Shopping Plaza. Come on down. Every everything is here
at ShopSmart.
At ShopSmart.
At ShopSmart.
Oh, everything is here.
Colombian Emeralds International is at it again with their super sale of the year. 50% plus 20% from December 1st through December 25th. And as a token of appreciation, with any purchase over $500, you will receive a fabulous gift while supplies last. Visit any of our locations, Rawson Square, Paradise Island, and in Freeport, Port Lucaya Marketplace. Some restrictions apply. Sales on selected items.
Open up,
this is the time of the year.
PTC spreading Christmas cheer.
Open up. To everybody whether far or near.
Move to the rhythm of Christmas round.
Open up.
Get your chance to win $1,000 each week when you sign up for BTC Internet. With the Super Fast Extreme Internet Bundle, enjoy 150 megabits of speed per second and 157 channels for only $99.99.
Move to the rhythm of Christmas. Move to the rhythm of BTC.
Visit BTCBahamas.com. Conditions apply.
That's the sound of a bite-sized payment I made on my new laptop.
Can I make a bite-sized payment on this amazing vacation?
Yes, with Scotia Select Pay. Now my big-ticket credit card purchases are more manageable with flexible bite-sized payments over 3, 6, 9, or 12 months at a lower interest rate. Scotia Select Pay allows me to better plan my expenses over time. The best part? No credit checks or financing application. Visit bs.scotiabank.com. Conditions apply.
Technology makes every day in life just a little bit easier. Whether it's for joy, productivity, or creativity, Custom Computers has all the latest gadgets to conquer any obstacle. Imagine automating mundane tasks with tech and living a freer, richer lifestyle, all while staying on top of your goals. The path to freedom could fit in the palm of your hand. Discover tomorrow's technology today at Custom Computers on Patton Street, Cable Beach, and Caves Village through the Blake Road entrance.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
Time of year when good friends are dear, and you wish you could give more than just presents from a store. Why don't you give a love on Christmas Day? Even the man who has everything.
We are back here with Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9. Dwight Strawn along with Pam LeMusgrove having a great discussion about what the Ministry of Education is going to be doing as we approach the end of the semester. We've got Belinda Wilson, the president of the Bahamas Union of Teachers, on our live line with us this morning. Belinda Wilson, good morning.
Good morning, Dwight, and good morning, Bob.
Good morning, good morning.
You know, y'all didn't plan for me to be on the phone this morning, but I, listening, I just really need to say some things, and I hope I can have an opportunity to do that, sir.
Okay.
All right. First of all, I would have sent out a voice note yesterday evening where the Bahamas Union of Teachers, we agreed with the Department of Education not to have the sitting of examinations for December 2021, and we agreed that students would be assessed in January 2022 when they return to school, and a progress report will be prepared for the students February of 2022. Now, that is in no way a perfect decision, but from where I sit, and I've been saying this now for almost 2 years, that there's a myriad of problems that we've been raising as the union from the pandemic begun and even before. And I can say to you that the Bahamas Union of Teachers, we do not have one piece of paper in our possession from the Department of Education laying out what will happen when schools reopen in January. In fact, what would even happen when the students leave on Friday? Because teachers are still asking, what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to sit home and look and stare at our computer screens? What is it that we are supposed to do? And I keep saying it, and I'm going to say it over and over and over. The officials in the ministry and the Department of Education, these are the same people that remain in place, whether a government changes or not. They are the technocrats. Their duty is to plan. So as we speak today, we had a meeting on Friday. The only thing they really asked us in the meeting is to agree as to whether the examinations would not be held for December 2021. An assessment would be done in January.
And you agreed to that?
We agreed to that. However, I attempted to expand the discussion and the conversation as to what type of assessment are we going to give the students.
Okay, so, Belinda, can you hold on while we break for news and pick this up on the other side of that?
I'll hold on.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot. We're going to be back. Stay with us.
So on the second day of Christmas, I balled out the clubs, but all that broke was bitch. Half of my riches on the Thursday of Christmas, I visited the mall, you know.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back to Morning Blend. Time for another check of your weather for today, brought to you by Bahamas First Insurance. Here's what's happening. We've got a surface trough meandering near the northwest Bahamas that will trigger showers over portions of the islands, while a ridge of high pressure across the area will support moderate to fresh breezes through tonight. For the northwest and central Bahamas today, look for partly sunny, very warm and breezy conditions with passing showers, becoming partly cloudy and mild with widely scattered showers tonight. For the southeast Bahamas, mostly sunny, warm, and breezy with light, quick passing showers, turning mostly fair and breezy with a stray shower or two possible tonight. Another warm day in store. Highs getting up to 85 Fahrenheit, 29 Celsius. Overnight lows tonight getting down to 70 Fahrenheit, 31 Celsius. 21 Celsius, rather. In your extended outlook, the trough will continue to linger near the northwest Bahamas before gradually weakening as the surface ridge remains anchored across the country through midweek. So for tomorrow, Tuesday, partly sunny and warm with isolated showers. Wednesday, partly sunny and warm with isolated showers again. That's your Morning Blend weather check, brought to you by Bahamas First Insurance. What's first for you comes first for us. And 8:22, time for another check of your traffic, brought to you by RBC Royal Bank. Just a reminder about Claridge Road, the work going on there. You might want to avoid the area if you can. That's from Wolf Road to Robinson Road. There will be road closures and detours. And again, if you can, avoid the area. Work continues, or it should be winding down on West Bay Street between Marcus Bethel Way and Chippingham Road. Most of that work taking place at night, the paving there. In your real-time traffic this morning, heavy traffic in a number of hot spots this morning, like Milo Butler Highway, but that traffic's backed up all the way down to Fire Trail and the roundabout, and backed up along the roundabout with Tawny Gloom's Darling Highway as well, the westbound lanes there. Glasser Road also busy, but looking better for you than Milo Butler Highway this morning. So that could be a better alternate route for you, but there will be heavy traffic for you northbound between Fire Trail and John Kennedy Drive about midway. Blue Hill Road also busy for you from about St. Vincent Road all the way up to Independence Drive, especially near Carmichael Road and north of Soldier Road in the northbound lanes. Independence Drive is backed up westbound to that roundabout with Blue Hill Road. And we've got pockets along Soldier Road, especially near Windsor Place as you approach Windsor Place. And then Prince Charles Drive at the major intersections like Prince Charles and Fox Hill and Prince Charles and Beatrice Avenue. And Eastern Road is busy just west of San Suzy in the westbound lanes up to about Johnson Road. Those are your hot spots right now. That's your real-time traffic and your morning blend traffic alert brought to you by RBC Royal Bank, banking reimagined. And we are back here with Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9. Dwight Strong along with Pamela Musgrove. We have Belinda Wilson, the president of the Bahamas Union of Teachers, on the line with us. She's talking, getting her reaction to the Ministry of Education announcing that there won't be any end-of-term examinations and that there won't be a report card day either. All right, so before the break, you were telling us that you agreed to this. Why did you agree to that? What's the reason, before we get to the assessment that you said that should be done in January, why did you think that was a good idea to not have the end-of-term examinations, Belinda Wilson?
Well, first of all, I can say to you that I believe that the meeting that we had on Friday past, which was December the 3rd, was only held because of my insistence that the union needs to be at the table. We need to know what plans the ministry and the Department of Education has for the end of term examinations and report cards. So obviously when we were sent the information on Wednesday that they're looking at a two-prong approach, that there's no examination for December, and then there would be assessments in January 2022, it was obvious to me that the Department of Education did not have a plan. So at that late stage, I mean, I did put my points forward, but at that late stage, the only thing you can do is agree that the examinations not be held because they did not provide a plan for us to review. So obviously it means that they had no plan.
So basically this is disadvantaging the students because there was no plan in place to have the exams.
That is my view, and they've shown that because they've not produced anything. They gave us one letter, and they gave us two positions for primary schools and secondary schools and asked for our input.
Wow. Okay. Do you think there should have been exams? I mean,
I'm saying this over and over. If we are not provided, or the Department of Education does not provide a strategic plan with an action plan, the strategic plan tells you what it is that you plan to do. Your action plan states who is responsible, what are the timelines, what objectives you're trying to meet. So if you are meeting with us, so you meet with us today and you say, oh, we want you all to agree with examinations being canceled and we'll do assessments in January. Okay, so what about the assessment? What type of assessment? What are we going to do about the students who have not attended school? What are we going to do about the report cards? How are we going to put in the grades? What are we doing about the confidentials? So if you have a meeting and the meeting is limited to just answering one specific question, but you are not provided with any written documentation. Mm-hmm. And so in the meeting, my questioning went along the lines of, if you're going to do assessments in January, which we agreed, and a progress report, then what type of assessment are you doing? Because there are 9 different types of assessment. So you're having a diagnostic test, you're doing a formative assessment, a summative assessment. What is it that you are seeking to test? Or what is it that you are seeking to achieve from the assessment? Mm-hmm. And then when you get those results, then what are the plans that you put in place to address the shortcomings that you know that you will find in the students?
Yeah.
And these are questions that we cannot get answers for. And let me just take you back. I've been saying almost 2 years now that the LMS, which is the Ministry of Education's virtual platform, has major problems. They keep pushing back. But from their numbers, they're telling us 30% of the students never logged on to the platform. We're talking about 14,400 students. So that's their numbers. We challenge it and we say the numbers are higher. Mm. But, you know, they would have the empirical data because they would have the registers, or there's a way for them to see who's logging on or off. But we are saying that we are certain that it's higher, because teachers would say to us that they're sitting in their house, they're sitting at their window where they can see the outside, they're teaching, and they could see a student who's logged on, but he's outside riding his bicycle past their home.
So
we're still awaiting the real numbers and the information as to who did not log on, who did not attend school. Mm-hmm. What we're asking too from education, what part of the curriculum, what the content has been covered, what was not covered? If teachers were unable to complete the curriculum, then what are we testing on? What areas are the assessment? What topics are we using? Those students who did not log on, then how are we going to assess them? How are we going to put in their grades? Because if you were not on the LMS, then it means you have no grades, but how do we now, what is it that we're going to teach you? Are we going back to 2020?
Right.
Are we just going to teach? So based on the discussions that we've had, the teaching will cover September 2021 to January 2022. So then what happens to the students who did not log on at all?
All right, so what is your view on all this? What do you think should be what form should the assessment take, and what do you think should be when you go back in January? Should you go back that far? Would that depend on the assessment results? What is the union's view at this moment?
Okay, we gave a number of recommendations. First of all, for the union, our first recommendation is that there must be a true assessment of what is the percentage of students who did not attend school from preschool, primary, and secondary. Once you get that information, then those students, we're of the view that they should have tutoring, they should have extra classes, and the Ministry of Education should implement, again, the extended learning program, which means that either 3 to 5 days per week, those students will be face-to-face with their teachers between the hours of 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. There should be a vigorous summer school program, even if there has to be classes on Saturdays. That should be done. Mm. If you're doing the assessment, then the assessment cannot just be based on a diagnostic test that you may give me when I return to school in January. It should also encompass quizzes, the in-school work, your homework. I also asked the question about heterogeneous grouping or homogeneous grouping. And as a teacher with the pedagogy, let me explain what that is. So when you talk about students being heterogeneously grouped, you would have students with multiple ability levels in one class.
Right.
But the homogeneous grouping would have one ability level. That is very important because if I heard Pam talking earlier this morning about the high flyers and the students who would have applied themselves and covered their work and they're ready for examinations or they're ready for their report cards. So imagine the student who has applied themselves, they're ready for their examinations, and they're in the class with a number of students who never attended school one day. So how the students are grouped, that is very important. At the primary school level, intervention. An intervention means that you pull out those students after you've done the diagnostic test and you've assessed that, let's say, 30% of the students got 0 to 30%. The other ones got 31% to 60%. The others got 61 up to 100%. Then that gives you your empirical data, which drives the process as to how do you now plan their literacy and numeracy. So you would have, you may have a classroom teacher that you have to pull out for him or her to just deal with the reading, the writing, the counting, the numbers. You cannot do the same approach that you've been doing over and over because we are faced with a different situation. And I know for years you've heard us talk about students at the primary level doing 11, 12, 13 subjects. So no adjustments have been made to the curriculum or the subjects that are being offered at the primary school. So again, education needs to provide for us, how are we going to look at the integrated approach, mm-hmm. where you've lessened the number of classes, but you're not missing out on what is taught. Because in an English class, you can introduce history or current event. So you can have a child write about the elections, which means that they would cover the current events, but they will also be showing you their skills, their writing skills, their comprehension skills. So there's a lot of work to be done. So just agreeing with the ministry to have the examinations canceled, then what? Mm-hmm. And that's what I keep asking every day, right. Every week, every year. Then what? So when you do not have a written plan and you get up every morning and you say, oh, I think about this. And so you give us a piece of this. It's piecemeal. It's ad hoc. We cannot run education in an ad hoc fashion. And we can have the PLB come this year, then 5 years later the FNM come, then you switch governments. But if we do not have a solid, a concrete education plan where you look at all aspects of education, and then you must do the SWOT analysis. Mm. So where are the strengths? Where are the weaknesses? Where are the opportunities? Where are the threats? And you honestly assess what you've been doing, and you come back to stakeholders like the union and say, listen, we have to sit based on our information, based on the statistics we have, based on even the input and the recommendations that the unions have been giving, administrators have been giving, parents have been giving, education officers have been giving. Yes, we realize that this is a weak area, and we will be making these changes. We do not have any changes. We have a bunch of talk, a bunch of rhetoric. We have persons who are working, who are ignoring the union's sound, reasonable recommendations. And whenever I give recommendations, I back it up with research, with documentation. And if we continue the way that we are going, our educational system, we are failing, but it will be a total fail year.
We've got about 30 seconds left. What should parents be doing? What should parents be doing right now?
Parents need to speak up. Parents need to question education. Because, okay, just as simple as schools are opening in January. Okay, parents expected to send the children with hard copy books or with tablets. Will the students be required to wear uniforms? These are simple questions that need to be answered so that parents can prepare for the return of school.
We're going to be watching this closely. Belinda Wilson, thank you so much for calling in. We really appreciate it.
I'm so sorry we couldn't deal with the absenteeisms, but I just want to say for the record, I heard y'all talking about truancy officers. Mm-hmm. There are only 10 of them in the country for 48,000 students.
Wow.
8 reside in New Providence, 2 in Grand Bahama. They do not have vehicles. They do not have laptops. They do not have telephones.
Oh.
So they do not have the tools that they need for them to be able to perform their duties in an effective and efficient manner.
And as you said, with the numbers that are out, they wouldn't have been able to do anything even if they had those tools, I suspect.
There's definitely a need to expand those numbers based on what it is that we're faced with today.
Well, we're going to definitely talk with you again before the start of the new term in January, but thank you very much. Really appreciate
it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Calling in. Always. Thank you. All right. I just want to read a few of these messages before we go to the break here. I'm getting some great comments from people about this. One of our listeners, always listening in abroad, far, far, far away. This is really interesting what she's saying here. This is an interesting conversation coming as I have to fight with the municipality in which I'm in to take my kid out of school early to travel for the holidays. Here you get fined, and she's not even in public school. Schools are required to report absences that are not due to being ill. And even the airlines won't let you board the flight if you have a child without permission to be out of school. So that's what happens when you have a whole community, a whole society that is invested in children. They're taking this thing very seriously.
Exactly. They're taking education very seriously.
And we I don't know if we've been there ever, but we definitely aren't there now. We definitely aren't there now, and people will see 10-year-olds on a Tuesday at 11:30 in plain clothes, in October. Yeah, October 1st, and like, oh well. That's some serious stuff there. This person says here, what needs to happen is the thing that most officials are seemingly running from: reform the education from the top down, get the teachers up to par, raise their salaries as incentives, and all future hires should only be top ranked students. Then we need to have students in school longer, from 8 to 5, is my suggestion. That would help with a lot of the things happening in our society right now. Well, you heard Belinda Wilson say even Saturday school to make up for all the lost ground, right? It's been many, many months, and many children have fallen way back. And if we aren't going to repeat them, then we need to make up.
Okay, so I'm going to add to my list. We need a national tourism strategy. We now need a national education strategy.
We needed that one a
so
long
I'm adding
time
to the list.
Ago.
It's okay.
It sounds like we need a national development plan. Need a national development plan.
See, the thing about the plan is you don't have to cover all of the areas one time. Mm-hmm. You can zoom in on certain areas and even begin to implement some of the strategy or the planning. You don't need to have everything completed.
Yeah.
But we need a national vision and something that, you know, you could look at and this is where we are and this is where we want to be.
Yeah, wow. A couple more messages as we go to the break. While I believe her intentions are good, Belinda Wilson is a good example of how the opposition behaves when they are not in power. Have teachers agreed to sacrifice their Saturdays to give extra classes? Where will the funding come from for this overtime? At what rate? Is this money already in the budget? Was there digital check-in to see how many students were in attendance to determine absenteeism? Easy to talk, but hard to implement.
Yeah, but the ministry is saying they're going to do an assessment. I don't believe they're going to do it. I mean, if you had all of this time and you weren't able to take end of term exams because you weren't ready, well, why do I believe in the next 3 or so weeks you're going to have something ready to do an assessment of all students in the public school system?
Yeah. This is a text. The student's entire life from 18 to 80 will have its foundation in these school early in these school years. If these students need to repeat 1 to 2 years of their life, let them. The country's future will be based on the results.
I don't think so.
Wow.
I don't think so. I think you need something to get them up to speed.
That's a lot though. Mm-hmm. That's a lot.
But that's a lot to put them back.
Yeah. And psychologically, there are implications for that as well. They go on to say, I agree with Mrs. Wilson. These review sessions cannot be the same old, same old. They need specific objectives and consistent assessments to ensure no one is falling back on this second opportunity. And this one says here, how interactive are the online classes if students are able to log on and disappear? And this final text here, the education of a country is related to its foundation, to almost everything that happens in the country. We cannot be progressive, civil, etc. if we do not have a good foundation. Yes, we know that.
That's probably why we're crumbling.
Absolutely. Right? We were talking about this off air. As simple as a game show like Jeopardy and so many other shows like that in the U.S. where, and other parts of the world, they have these things, right? Where you can win money for what you know, for how much you know about something, how educated you are. When was the last time we encouraged anything like that around here?
Yep.
Everything is a game of chance here. Everything is about that. Nothing about
or who you know
skills.
In most cases, yeah.
We don't celebrate your knowledge here.
We have a lot of persons who go off to university and they study areas that we need, but yet we tell them no.
Yeah. Let's go to the break. This is Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9. A lot more to get to. Stay with us.
No jingle bells or drum or boy. Even harpsichord, I want to hear that steel drum playing, man.
Physical distancing isn't the same as being socially distant. I know that sometimes it can be a bit difficult not being able to engage in the in-person social activities that we did before, whether that be going to the movies or just hanging out in person. But remember that different does not mean distant. As the generation of technology, we can get creative in planning virtual parties with friends and family. Play online games with friends. Plan virtual family parties. Start a cooking competition among cousins or do a virtual dance party. If you do gather in person, however, remember to avoid gathering in large groups. Always ensure that you wear your mask to cover your mouth and nose. And remember, wash and sanitize your hands.
This message is brought to you by the PAHO WHO Bahamas and Turks and Caicos Country Office, the Ministry of Health, and the Healthy Bahamas Coalition.
We are working to protect our country, our people, and our livelihoods so that we can move forward. The vaccine is safe. The vaccine is easy. The vaccine is essential. essential for our recovery. If we want to rebuild our economy, if we want to get back to our jobs, if we want to get back to our lives, our families, we must do this together.
What does Christmas mean to you? What about making a loved one's face smile bright or driving your own car? CIBC First Caribbean gives you up to 100% financing on auto loans. Apply online and let our auto financing take you places this Christmas. Visit CIBCFCIB.com for more information. Terms and conditions apply.
It's a different kind of Christmas, but everything is here.
Yes, everything is here at ShopSmart Department Stores. Two locations just for you. One on Mackey Street next to RBC and in the Prince Charles Shopping Plaza. Come on down. Everything is here.
At ShopSmart. At ShopSmart. At ShopSmart. Oh, everything is here.
Spreading Christmas cheer.
Open up.
To everybody, whether far or near.
Move to the rhythm of Christmas round.
Switch to BTC for huge smartphone savings to celebrate the magic of Christmas. Get the iPhone 12 mini for just $199.99, plus a Christmas gift when you sign up for a postpaid plan. Get the new Alcatel A1V for just $19, or the Samsung A02 for just $39, that included. Plus a free 7-day prepaid combo and SIM card. Get yours today.
This Christmas, make it BTC. It's the better choice for you and me.
Move to the rhythm of Christmas. Move to the rhythm of BTC.
Conditions apply.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
How much is that doggy in the window? The one with the waggly tail. How much is that doggy in the window? I do hope that dog is for sale. I must take a trip to California and leave my...
We are back here with Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9. Dwight Strong along with Pamela Musgrove. Changing gears here. We're going to talk with our friends at Bark about what they are up to and as about their upcoming Potcake Golf Tournament. Joining us, we're very pleased to welcome Rachel Hale, and I think we might have another person with you, Rachel.
Good morning. I'm not sure if anyone else is joining, but okay, you'll have so to settle just, for me.
Well, that's fine. That's perfectly fine. Morning. Great to have you with us. Welcome. All right. So tell us about Bark. It's been a while since we've talked to Bark on the show, but for those who might not be familiar, tell us about Bark and what it stands for. We know that that means something there, and the work you do.
Sure. Bark stands for Bahamas Alliance for Animal Rights and Kindness. And for a number of years, the main objective has been to increase spay and neuter across all the islands of the Bahamas. And so we've been focusing primarily here in Nassau, and recently conducted a population survey to understand really the gravity of the situation of how many animals there are, both owned and stray. I think many people are aware that the Bahamas Humane Society and many other shelters across the islands are just kind of, you know, they're bursting at the seams with animals. And really the only sustainable solution is to increase spay and neuter across the country.
Yeah. Let's talk about that. We've had the Humane Society on and they've told us about how horrible it's been for them. It's very trying. And it seems to me that I'm seeing after a while back a lull in this. We're seeing more and more on the streets, more dogs roaming again, and cats as well. Is that accurate, that not just in the shelters, but all over we're seeing an increase in these animals?
You know, it could be that there's a surge. It could just be that it's more visible. But we certainly have not gotten a complete handle on the issue, and hence the reason for this fundraising golf tournament that we're having and our continued efforts. As a matter of fact, one of the key reasons we're doing this golf tournament is to raise funding for a mobile spay and neuter clinic. And that means essentially it will be a truck that goes into the communities that are most in need to spay and neuter strays or owned animals. So For example, when you see this surge, we'll go to those areas and address the problem at the root of the cause.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so are you doing, your work is for free? How does it work exactly?
Sure. So it is for free. We do request a donation if folks are able to do so. In the case that they aren't, that's fine. We also work with a number of vets across NASA to have their services donated, which is fantastic. We will be hiring a full-time veterinarian as well as vet assistant and as well as a coordinator. So these are all people that need to be paid, and so hence the reason for fundraising and charity events like this golf tournament.
Wonderful stuff.
Research showed that pets can help children create better relationships with people. Do your organization do any of that sort of work to encourage, I know we have a lot of social ills, and to encourage more pet ownership amongst a cross-section of Bohemians so that we can deal with people better?
That's a great question and an excellent point. I think interaction with animals has been shown to help with social skills. And, you know, your guest on earlier was addressing issues related to education. And so dealing with animals, raising a pet teaches responsibility, social interaction, kindness, thinking outside of yourself. So, you know, there are a number of things that can be learned from it. What we really promote is responsible pet ownership. And so one of the ways that we do that for the youth is we give out coloring books. And so it sounds quite simple at its core, but by coloring, we're also telling a story of that pets need food and water and proper care and flea and tick prevention. They also need vaccinations, et cetera. So we do promote pet ownership, but responsible pet ownership.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How has the pandemic affected the work of BARC? You know, we were on lockdown a good portion of last year. What were you able to do and what weren't you able to do?
Well, there were a number of things that we were able to do, the spay and neuters, but everything was greatly reduced. You know, still volunteers are not fully allowed at the Humane Society. And so it has restricted the amount of people that we've been able to reach. But I'm happy to say that, you know, we've still made a huge strides. We're doing mobile clinics. We call them MASH clinics in some of the family islands. So we've been able to continue our work just at a scaled down level. But I think with this mobile clinic that will go into the communities, I think we'll be able to really make up any ground that was lost.
Yeah. How much are you trying to raise? How much do you need for the mobile van that you were talking about?
So with the golf tournament, our aim is to raise $100,000. The operating costs are quite high for the mobile clinic. It's not only the salaries of the folks that we're employing. Mm-hmm. It's also the supplies, the fuel for the truck, the insurance. You know, there's a lot that goes into it.
Yeah.
It's not the fun stuff people like to talk about, but it is the ongoing operations. But I'm happy to say for this golf tournament that's happening next Sunday on the 12th, we already are at full capacity with the signups.
Oh, wow.
And that's, we were at full capacity 2 weeks ahead of schedule. So that was really exciting to see that the community is supporting our fundraising efforts and our efforts to control the animal population.
Okay. Well, well, that's good. So if you hadn't been, what did people need to know if they wanted to be part of it, which is too late now? But and what can we expect if you're going to be watching it maybe?
Well, there is never an end to fundraising, I'm sure you know, and the animal population issue does continue. So people can go to barkbahamas.com. That's B-A-A-R-K, bahamas.com. There are ways to volunteer, to contribute. And at this golf tournament, our title sponsor is Alive. And we also have some really great additional sponsors that have been contributing prizes for raffles, all kinds of different things. So these raffles are not only for the golf players, but if people want to come out and buy a raffle ticket, which all goes to the charity, you certainly can do so. And I have to name a couple of our sponsors,
sure.
If you don't mind.
That's fine.
We've got Tropic Ocean Airways, we've got Purina, Think Simple, Simplified Lending, Super Green Solutions, RBC, Canoe, Graham Real Estate, Tito's Vodka, which is vodka for dog people, as we know.
Oh.
Odyssey.
Not for dogs, though.
Please, no. Please, no. No. But, you know, it's been awesome to see the amount of prizes and support from the community for this cause. So if you don't, if you're not already signed up to play golf, you can come and buy a raffle ticket to win some great prizes for stays at hotels across the islands, for rounds of golf, all kinds of great prizes. It's really fantastic.
Wow, wonderful. And as you said, the charity work, you still need the fundraising. So beyond the golf tournament, what else can people do to help BARC?
You know, I think our greatest challenge is awareness and understanding spay and neuter. You know, part of the population study was going into communities and for people who have not spayed or neutered their pets, was understanding the why behind it. And there were a lot of misconceptions that, for example, if you neuter a male, then he's no longer a real animal. Or if you spay a female, she's just going to get fat and lazy. So I think there's a lot of education, that goes into this. So awareness and then fundraising and all of that can be, organized through the website through donations.
Yeah. And we've heard other things, weird things like, you know, you've got to allow her to have at least one litter psychologically. And,
so many things. It's really quite funny.
Oh boy. But do you think people are getting the message? Are we really getting it?
They are, you know, similar to what your previous guest was saying about the importance of educating our youth. You know, educating our youth about responsible pet ownership is really at the core of it for any of our work to be sustainable. Spaying and neutering animals that are already here is great, but if we can have future generations already spay and neuter their pets at a really young age, then I think that will have a sustainable impact. For the future.
Yeah. And you mentioned, I think, the Family Islands. You do this on the Family Islands as well?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Correct.
How often?
And it's
all
really with the support of the community. Sometimes we can do it in a church, we can do it in a banquet hall, wherever we can.
Yeah. This is excellent stuff. And we're wishing you all the best with the Potcake Golf Tournament. This is the first, but you hope this will be an annual event. Is that right?
Indeed, indeed. So thanks to everyone who's already signed up and to our sponsors, and thanks for having us.
Okay.
It's obviously a hit.
Yeah. that's how it stays away every year. Wonderful stuff. Rachel, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
And awesome. Thank you.
All of you at BAR, keep up the great work. And we hope the community gets behind this and understands we're all in this together. But thank you very much again, Rachel Hale. All right, we're going to take a break for news and be back with the Bahamas COVID vaccination raffle drawing and Morning Blend business, talking about Bitcoin. A lot more Morning Blend coming up. Stay with us.
How much is that dog in the window? The one with the waggly tail. How much is that doggy in the window? I do hope that dog is for sale. I must take a trip to California and leave my poor sweetheart alone. If he has a dog, he won't be lonesome, and the doggy will have a good home. How much is that doggy in the window? The one with the waggly tail.
Do you want to travel this holiday season? Don't want to miss out on those doorbuster deals? Haven't gotten your COVID-19 vaccine yet? The Johnson & Johnson vaccine may be just what you need. It's one and done and fully vaccinated. For now, just one jab of this vaccine, and 2 weeks later, you're fully vaccinated and ready to shop. This message has been brought to you by the Ministry of Health and this radio station.
Wendy's and Coca-Cola are back
with $45,000 worth of upgrades for you.
Upgrade your premium lunch combo to a large or purchase a large salad and a Coke product and get your scratch card for a chance to win thousands of prizes instantly. You can win a PlayStation 5, plane tickets with spending money, weekend hotel stays, an iMac, iPad, iPhone 13, tool sets, washer and dryer set, and thousands more prizes. Visit Wendy's Facebook page for more details on the Upgrade My Life promotion. Rules and restrictions apply.
Technology makes every day in life just a little bit easier. Whether it's for Joy, productivity, or creativity, Custom Computers has all the latest gadgets to conquer any obstacle. Imagine automating mundane tasks with tech and living a freer, richer lifestyle, all while staying on top of your goals. The path to freedom could fit in the palm of your hand. Discover tomorrow's technology today at Custom Computers on Patton Street, Cable Beach, and Caves Village through the Blake Road entrance.
My Gateway is the centralized, safe, secure way to access and pay for government services online. Go to mygateway.gov.bs and log in to request a police character certificate, renew your passport or driver's license, and more. Receive emails confirming requests and alerts when documents are ready. You must have a valid government-issued ID in order to collect documents. My Gateway is fast, easy, and convenient. Go to mygateway.gov.bs and register today.
For 38 years, Struckum Commercial Pest Services has provided trained certified technicians while using environmentally safe industry standard products. Pests can devastate your business. Together, we will ensure adequate sanitation standards and safe pest exclusion methods. Uncontrolled pest problems lead to significant financial loss due to food contamination, business disruption, and stock waste. Struckum provides detailed solutions protecting your business and reputation. Struckum, number one in pest control services.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm Rita Foley with an AP News Minute. The Omicron variant of the coronavirus has now been found in about one-third of the states, from the East Coast to the West Coast. Health officials are giving their best advice as many Americans wonder, will the vaccines protect us? The AP's Shelley Adler has this.
The jury is still out on how much protection vaccines offer when it comes to the Omicron variant. That question put to NIH Director Dr. Francis Collins.
We think they're probably going to be useful, but just how useful? That's an answer everybody wants. The scientists are all over this. We were kind of expecting right. that this would come along at some point. People are hard at work 24/7 to get those answers.
Collins is also expecting more variants. Collins appeared on NBC's Meet the Press. I'm Shelley Adler.
You know, consumer prices have been going up. Well, now the nation's business economists predict prices will rise 6% this quarter compared with a year ago. Blame those bottlenecked supply chains. I'm Rita Foley.
We'll be right back.
a celebration to last throughout the years. So bring your good times and your laughter too. We gon' celebrate your party with you. Come on now. Let's all celebrate and have a good time.
And it's time for your morning blend. Bahamas COVID vaccination raffle drawing for today. And you know how this works. If you are fully vaccinated or even partially vaccinated, all you have to do is register to win these wonderful prizes that we give away every day. Our partners at the U.S. Embassy organizing this fantastic event since early September. We're still going strong with this. And VaxBahamas.com. VaxBahamas.com is what you need to register for the raffle. The raffle. And we're giving away two great prizes today. We've got two passes on the Bohengi. That's the first prize. Two passes on the Bohengi. And then the second prize, two passes for Dolphin Encounters. Two passes for Dolphin Encounters. So great activities there. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right, so let's give away the two passes in the Bohengi. That should be a lot of fun to get to the islands. The two passes in the Bohengi. The winner of the two passes in the Bohengi, Janelle Stubbs. Janelle Stubbs. J-A-N-E-L-L Stubbs. You've won two passes on the Bohengi. Congratulations to you. Sounds like a lot. It's going to be a great time. Wow. Could use a trip to the islands right about now. Yeah. All right. Then the two passes on for Dolphin Encounters. Two passes for Dolphin Encounters. The winner for the two passes to Dolphin Encounters, Nadine or Nadine Woods. N-A-D-I-N-E Woods. You've won two passes for Dolphin Encounters, Nadine Woods. Congratulations.
That's excellent.
Gonna have a lot of fun with either of those.
Yeah.
And wonderful stuff. Again, you could be the name I call. VaxBahamas.com to register for the Bahamas COVID vaccination raffle drawing. And we're going to do that again tomorrow. All right, so we're going to take a quick break and be back with more Morning Blend business. Coming up, we're going to be talking about Bitcoin and cryptocurrency, what you need to know, coming up right after this.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
There's no reason to skip holiday traditions this year once you know the facts about COVID-19 vaccines. These vaccines are safe and effective at preventing severe illness, hospitalization, and death. They've been placed through rigorous clinical trials and are used in countries throughout the world. Data confirms that vaccines can also provide protection against variants of the virus, including the Delta strain. COVID-19 vaccines help to protect you by teaching your body how to fight the virus. Without the vaccine, you and your family may be at risk of serious lifelong complications from a COVID-19 infection. By being vaccinated, you can remove regret and fear that someone you love will be impacted or die from COVID-19.
Merry Christmas to you.
Persons wishing to be vaccinated should visit the website vax.gov.bs. The Ministry of Health and Wellness also encourages persons to pay attention to announcements on when a pop-up vaccination center will be hosted near you. This message is brought to you by the Public Hospitals Authority. The Public Hospitals Authority, working together for best quality healthcare.
Always on the go? Missed a show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
We are working to protect our country, our people, and our livelihoods so that we can move forward. The vaccine is safe. The vaccine is easy. The vaccine is essential for our recovery. If we want to rebuild our economy, if we want to get back to our jobs, if we want to get back to our lives, our families, we must do this together.
What does Christmas mean to you? What about making a loved one's face smile bright or driving your own car? CIBC First Caribbean gives you up to 100% financing on auto loans. Apply online and let our auto financing take you places this Christmas. Visit CIBCFCIB.com for more information. Terms and conditions apply.
It's a different kind of Christmas, but everything is here.
Yes, everything is here at ShopSmart Department Stores. Two locations just for you. One on Mackey Street next to RBC and in the Prince Charles Shopping Plaza. Come on down. Everything is here
at ShopSmart.
Last year, I missed the opportunity to spend time with my 90-year-old grandmother because of the COVID-19 pandemic. But this year, that won't happen. I'm fully vaccinated, and I won't miss the chance to spend time with my Grammy this Christmas. COVID-19 vaccinations help to protect you by teaching your body how to fight the virus without putting yourself at risk of severe illness. The vaccination also helps to keep our families and communities safe. By not being vaccinated, you and your family may be at risk of serious lifelong complications from a COVID-19 infection. Vaccinations prevent regret and fear that someone you love will die from COVID-19. Some of you did it for the gram. I did it for my gram. Persons wishing to be vaccinated should visit the website vax.gov.bs. The Ministry of Health and Wellness also encourages persons to pay attention to announcements on when a pop-up vaccination center will be hosted near you. This message is brought to you by the Public Hospitals Authority. The Public Hospitals Authority, working together for best quality healthcare.
Physical distancing isn't the same as being socially distant. I know that sometimes it can be a bit difficult not being able to engage in the in-person social activities that we did before, whether that be going to the movies or just hanging out in person. But remember that different does not mean distant. As the generation of technology, we can get creative in planning virtual parties with friends and family. Play online games with friends. Plan virtual family parties. Start a cooking competition among cousins. Or do a virtual dance party. If you do gather in person, however, remember to avoid gathering in large groups. Always ensure that you wear your mask to cover your mouth and nose. And remember, wash and sanitize your hands often.
This message is brought to you by the PAHO WHO Bahamas and Turks and Caicos Country Office, the Ministry of Health, and the Healthy Bahamas Coalition.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Wake up, it's a new day. Wake up, it's a new day. We'll be right back.
Good morning again, and welcome to Morning Blend Business on this Monday, December 6th, 2021. Welcome back to our Morning Blend listeners. Once again, I'm Dwight Strawn, along with Pamela Musgrove. And this morning, we're going to be talking about Bitcoin and cryptocurrency, the ins and the outs of it all, and the do's and the don'ts, the pros and the cons. And these are the buzzwords everyone's talking about. We're going to get more about that this morning. Our guest is going to guide us through it. Very pleased to welcome to the show, Theo Savousis. Theo, great to have you with us.
Great to be here, Dwight.
Good morning.
Wonderful.
Good morning.
All right, so give us a little bit of background on yourself before we get into it, and how you got into Bitcoin and cryptocurrency.
Okay, so back in 2011, I read a paper on the internet, and it was Satoshi Nakamoto's white paper, and I knew, because of my background, I have a degree in business, a master's in computer science, I had enough knowledge to be able to comprehend most of it, mm-hmm. although parts of it were too difficult to understand, but it was enough to get my attention, and mm-hmm. not only get my attention, but I could not believe what this person had published. Mm-hmm. It was the first form of public money, mm-hmm. Money that was issued, could be issued without an authority, without any authority, mm-hmm. and that it was a brilliant idea. It appeared to be a brilliant idea. So I put together a computer, and I started mining. I downloaded the Bitcoin algorithm and started mining in 2011. Mm-hmm. And I had these big graphics cards at the time that were doing it. But the problem was that they got so hot that you could fry eggs on them.
Oh, wow.
Because the Bitcoin algorithm is incredibly intensive. It's, mm-hmm. it pushes the hardware to the max. Mm-hmm. Which is why it consumes so much electricity. And so my brothers own Wendy's.
Right.
And so what I asked them is, could I move my computer into your walk-in cooler?
And, was it that serious?
And so for a year and a half, this machine ran minting Bitcoin. And so after a year and a half, mm-hmm. I shut the machine down because I calculated that the size of the Bitcoin mining network globally had grown to mm-hmm. such an extent that if I had let the way you make Bitcoin with mining is that if you solve every 10 minutes, there is a problem, a block of mm-hmm. transactions that took place in the last 10 minutes, mm-hmm. Bitcoin transactions, and they are encrypted. And all the computers that are on the network get busy trying to find the keys to the encryption, mm-hmm. how it, you know, what is the solution to this particular block. Mm-hmm. And as soon as one of them finds it, it publishes it, and all the other machines stop, have a look. If it's a valid solution, it's added to the Bitcoin blockchain mm-hmm. as a valid block of transactions that took place in the last 10 minutes, mm-hmm. and the computer that discovered it gets 50 Bitcoin at the time.
Wow.
At the time. The first 4 years, it was 50 Bitcoin. The next 4 years, it was 25. Mm-hmm. And then it went half again. The next 4 years was 12 and a half, and now it's 6 1/4. We're in the fourth epoch of Bitcoin mining. In 2024, it's going to go to 3 1/8. Mm-hmm. In 2028, it'll go to half that again. And so this is how Bitcoins are mined. They're given to the computer that solves mm-hmm. the problem. And this will mm-hmm. continue happening until 2140, when the last Bitcoin will be mined. Mm-hmm. And so it's baked right into the Bitcoin algorithm. That's when the last Bitcoin will be created. So I shut my machine down. I could never mint another Bitcoin, even if it ran to the end of time, because the computational power it had was now too small in comparison to the entire network to ever contribute again.
Okay, so you talk to us like we're children. So mining is different from, you don't have to mine it, right? You can just buy it and keep it? Or
mining is a way to make Bitcoin without having to buy it.
Okay.
Okay? All right. Well, you're paying for the electricity to mine it, right? So perhaps in the Bahamas, it's not a good place to mine because our electricity costs so high.
Right.
The best place to do mining is right next door to a renewable energy source, hydroelectric, some big solar farm that has excess energy to sell. They're not using all of it. And so you can tap into that, get electricity for very cheap, 3 to 5 cents a kilowatt hour. Then you can mine efficiently.
Mm-hmm. So for the year that you were mining in your brother's cooler, market cooler, did you mine any Bitcoin?
I mined a lot.
Okay.
How lucrative was it for you? I mean,
it was at the time, Bitcoin was $2.
Mm-hmm.
How lucrative was it? None at all based on $2.
Right?
Mm-hmm. But based on today's price, which I haven't checked, but it's close to 50, somewhere 50,000, very lucrative.
Yeah. All right. So if you could do this in a place where you have renewable energy, would you recommend that as opposed to just buying it and sitting and watching it fluctuate? What do you recommend for people who are trying to understand cryptocurrency and what's going on out there?
Bitcoin mining is no longer an amateur endeavor. It is mostly professionals who have set up huge facilities for mining Bitcoin, and so it takes a lot to set up next to a hydroelectric plant or some other solar facility that where there's renewable energy. And so, I mean, the least expensive energy you can buy on the planet now is renewable. And so it's actually, this is something that's not well understood by the press and so forth, where Bitcoin is given a hard time about the amount of energy it consumes as a network, because there's over 10 million computers worldwide running this algorithm.
Wow.
This is the Bitcoin network. The thing about it is that 75% is renewable. 75% of the energy that Bitcoin mining uses is renewable energy.
Yeah.
And that is simply because it's the cheapest energy form you can buy.
Okay.
So the doors are shut in terms of us in the Bahamas from benefiting from mining Bitcoin, basically, somewhat.
Okay, maybe not, because if you're willing to pay the electrical expense that we incur in the Bahamas, you may benefit in 5 years if Bitcoin goes up tremendously higher.
Mm-hmm.
But from a point of view of today's value, you should not be spending more than 5 cents per kilowatt hour buying your electricity.
So do you think mining now requires a special skill as opposed to just...
No, it's pretty straightforward. It's just the setup cost, which is, you know, buying your mining. First of all, here's the thing. The Bitcoin mining network is now something like, well, it's 275 exahashes. An exa is 10 to the 18, I believe, in size. To give you an idea how big this thing is, you know, we've all heard of how much electricity it absorbs. It actually absorbs more it uses more electricity, the entire network, than the country of Switzerland.
Wow.
That is how big this thing is. And there's a reason for it. It keeps the network secure because the entire basis of Bitcoin and the blockchain that it's built on is that it is extremely difficult to publish a fraudulent block. Mm-hmm. Because could you publish a fraudulent block, then that would crash Bitcoin, because then it becomes unreliable as a store of value, as a store of information. Mm-hmm. And the only way you could publish a fraudulent block, because this is a consensus network, it means you would have to have 51% of the computing power of the network to be able to say, okay, 51% of computers say that my fraudulent block, which I just published, mm-hmm. right, is the correct one. And it would actually be put onto the blockchain.
Right.
And so otherwise, if you were to publish a fraudulent block, say I wanted to say that you sent all your bitcoins to me.
Mm-hmm.
I publish that. I signal. I have the answer. Mm-hmm. Everyone stops what they're doing. All the other computers, they have a look at it. They see my answer is total rubbish, mm-hmm. because it has nothing to do with what the problem they're working mm-hmm. on. So I'm properly ignored.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyone who publishes a fraudulent block is just ignored. Mm-hmm. And the only way you can get away with it is to have 51% of the computing power. So what does it take? Say that someone wanted to bring the Bitcoin network down mm-hmm. and crash it. What would it take? Well, as it turns out, I have done the calculation, and mm-hmm. it turns out that if you took all of AWS, Amazon's cloud computing services, if you took all of Microsoft's Azure cloud, if you took all of Google's cloud computers mm. combined together, they do not even come mm. to 1% of the computing power of the Bitcoin mining
That's
network.
Amazing.
It is the biggest machine yeah. on the planet.
Yeah.
There is nothing like it.
All right, so you don't mine anymore. So what do you do now? What do you do with your Bitcoin?
Or
what,
before you answer that question, did you give your brothers a cut out of your stuff? Because you did use their cooler.
I'll tell you, it's a very sad story. All the Bitcoin that I mined, I decided when Bitcoin hit $1,200 mm-hmm. back in early 2014, January, mm-hmm. I decided I'm cashing out.
Right.
I transferred all my Bitcoin to the biggest Bitcoin exchange in the world mm-hmm. at the time, which is called Mt. Gox, mm-hmm. which was based in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, they got hacked.
Oh, no.
And all my Bitcoin was
hacked. Oh, no.
I lost everything.
Wow.
So I went into depression for like 2 years saying, you know, all my efforts to no avail. And so finally in 2016, I said, okay, forget it. The Bitcoin mining was a great first attempt.
Uh-huh.
Just go buy some Bitcoin.
Wow, okay.
And so what I did is I bought Bitcoin at $400.
Okay, wow.
And so, which is what it was at 2016.
My goodness.
And I bought Ethereum as
That's crazy. Okay, I wanted to find out more about the buying process. So there was no insurance? There's no way to protect that what you had to show that you
there is this is the Wild West. Mm-hmm. There is no insurance. Uh-huh. There is nothing.
Uh-huh.
What happened was that Mt. Gox got very lax with their security, and someone was able to steal the private keys of one of their wallets mm-hmm. and very slowly siphoned off 800,000 bitcoins.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And they couldn't trace that to find out who did it, or
every Bitcoin transaction is on the blockchain.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone can see it.
Mm-hmm.
Every Bitcoin wallet is on the blockchain. Everyone can see every address, every wallet, and the amount in them.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't know who it belongs to.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so it's like that. Everything is absolutely transparent. That's why people who perpetrate criminal activities using Bitcoin are fools, mm-hmm. because it is incredibly easy to trace them.
Yeah.
You can see where the Bitcoin moved to. You know immediately which wallet belongs to them.
Yeah.
And then there's corporations, companies called Chainalysis, which work for the FBI and for Interpol and many agencies that you can hire them. That will track IP addresses, and so it's very difficult to get away with.
So how come you didn't get yours back then?
You don't get it back. Uh-huh. You can't get it back, but they can't spend it either.
Okay.
So it's what they tried to do was to disperse it into thousands of different wallets.
Mm-hmm.
And mind you, this was 2014. This was early days.
Yeah.
They did manage to cash because Chainalysis and companies like that didn't come into existence until 2016.
Right.
So in the early days, you could get away with it much more easily than you could try to get away with it now.
All right, so that sounds a little scary to some people. So buying it, is it safe? Can you lose your investment
if you were
to invest in Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies right now?
There are exchanges. A well-known one now that is very popular is FTX, and it has moved to the Bahamas,
yes.
from Singapore, I believe.
Right.
And so you can open an account with FTX. You can open an account with Coinbase. You can open an account with Kraken. These are all big exchanges, crypto exchanges, that are very trusted. Binance is the biggest one. But you can keep your money on the exchange, mm-hmm. although that's not advisable because it is possible that that they could get hacked and you could lose your coins.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a popular phrase in cryptocurrency that says, not your keys, not your coins. Mm-hmm. So if the exchange is holding onto your coins, they have the private keys for spending them, mm-hmm. because there's this concept about a wallet, a crypto wallet, say like a Bitcoin wallet. It has two factors. One is called the public key and one is called the private key.
Mm-hmm.
These are two large numbers. The public key is how people send you Bitcoin. You publish that. That is your account number in Bitcoin. So that's like saying, this is my bank account number. People can send you money. They mm-hmm. can wire you money, whatever. The private key you should never show to anyone. This is how you spend that money. You need, that is like a signature. And so only the person who has access to that private key can move that Bitcoin. And so it becomes a responsibility, your responsibility, if you decide to self-custody, to hold your own Bitcoins,
mm-hmm.
because you trust no one out there to do it, you are now your own bank.
Mm.
You are responsible for your crypto.
Mm-hmm.
If you lose your private key,
mm-hmm.
you are done.
So how can you lose your private key?
Okay, so you wrote it down on a piece of paper, and there was a flood. There was a fire.
Mm-hmm.
You've lost your private key.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There is another thing. Every time you set up a wallet, there is a seed phrase that you must write down when you create your wallet.
Mm-hmm.
And the seed phrase is 20 words that are randomly generated out of a database of 2,048 words that you are yours and yours only.
You can't change it?
You cannot change it.
Wow.
It is associated with that wallet. That wallet then, if you write those words down and mm-hmm. you store them, should you ever lose your wallet or your private keys or whatever, you can recreate the wallet by entering those 20 words.
Wow, okay.
But you got to remember those words. You can never lose those words. You could have $1 million worth of Bitcoin. You could live in a war-torn region. And would have to cross a border, right, to leave the country, and they won't let you leave even with the shirt on your back. You memorize those 20 words. You cross the border without your shirt. You have nothing in your pocket. You arrive where at your destination. You recreate your wallet, and you have all your wealth right there.
Wow.
You can carry your money in your head. This is what Bitcoin brings to the table.
Okay, so let's say I'm just starting out and I want some Bitcoins. The only way for me to get the Bitcoins is to purchase them, right?
Correct.
So the basic transaction would, I'd have to take my cash, go to a reputable exchange, and purchase my coins to start my wallet.
That is one way to do it. Go to a reputable exchange, set up an account. You have to do KYC so that, you know, you'd probably have to show your passport, a photo of your passport in your eye. And so once that's established, it doesn't take long, an hour, you have an account. Now you have to find a way to buy the crypto, which means you have to send the exchange money. So many exchanges accept credit cards. However, Bahamian banks have shut down that entry into cryptocurrency.
Really?
Yeah, you try to use your credit card, the transaction won't go through.
Even with a company like FTX that is headquartered here now, is that still?
Well, FTX is headquartered here for tax reasons, but it's not still, because.
Wow!
Right?
For tax reasons?
Yes, for tax reasons.
But you can't. It won't make it a smoother transaction between you and them.
I think I know why. But why do you suppose the banks have shut off that path?
Okay, so it's not just Bahamian banks that are doing this. There are banks in the United States that are behaving the same way. And there's a couple of reasons. The main reason, the reason that they say is they're protecting you from risky or fraudulent investments, right? Because you're children and you don't know what you're doing. So that is their what they're saying. But in reality, what has happened is that $2.25 trillion have exited out of the traditional financial system and has entered cryptocurrency.
Wow.
And not only that, but that is growing exponentially. And so they're trying to stop this money from leaving the system and entering into an alternate universe of cryptocurrency that they have no control over. And not only that, but crypto, especially, I mean, like Bitcoin and others, is making it such that the business model that banks have becomes irrelevant. The banks will go out of business.
Oh, dear.
That is what is on the horizon, and they see it, and they're terrified because this is coming like a tidal wave where anyone can send money to anybody instantaneously for 0.0001 of a penny, right? Any transaction. For example, $1.3 billion of Bitcoin was transferred from one place to another, or one wallet to another, and that transfer, that $1.3 billion value transfer, cost 81 cents.
My goodness. Wow.
So that is it. Banking is done as we know it.
No, I agree that there may be a situation with money leaving the banking system and going into the crypto market. But is one of the reason being a lot of fraud? Like people, I mean, because you really got to trust the people. And a lot, you hear this happening a lot. You use your credit card or you send money somewhere and they give you a statement making it seem as though you have this money, and then when it's time to get this money back, then there's no money. I've known situations like that with persons who got into those problems. So could that be a reason as well why some banks and institutions are restricting payment to those companies?
Yes, there are known fraudulent actors in the market. In fact, there are over 10,000 different cryptocurrencies in existence. 99.9% are garbage.
Oh, my goodness.
They are absolute garbage.
Mm-hmm.
You invest in those, you're going to lose your money.
Mm.
So there's a lot of learning. Mm-hmm. It's a steep learning curve, and there's a lot of learning to do to find which are the good cryptos to invest in. That's number one. Number two, exchanges. The biggest, a year ago, the biggest exchange in Canada called Quadriga CX, the founder mysteriously died in India and was the only one in the corporation that had the private keys of all of funds. It was 140 million that just disappeared.
Mm.
And of course, he was cremated before anyone could arrive. And so that money is gone.
So are you, I'm getting it from your voice, you don't believe that he is gone? Is that what you're suggesting here?
I don't believe it for a minute.
But wouldn't the new technology track then this money if it was to leave the company and go somewhere else?
Yes,
wouldn't the new technology track it? So
they know which wallets is now sitting in because the companies, the exchanges wallets were emptied.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they know where it's sitting. It just hasn't been spent.
All right, we have tons of questions for you. We need to take a break, but before we go, I want you to. You say it's hard with your credit card. So how do you get? How do you buy the Bitcoin? What do you do?
So there is one bank that I know of still that allows crypto transactions on a card. I won't mention the name, but they exist. There is
a bank here in the country.
Yes, and it is actually a Bahamian bank.
So when you get into cryptocurrency, this is not for people who are trying to build up savings and you know, basically living paycheck to paycheck. This is for persons who have money and they can take like 5% of their income to play with, because if they lose it. I'm asking, if they lose it, that's fine. But this is not for hardworking people just trying to build wealth, right?
I would beg to differ.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is this. Bitcoin has gone up 375% on average year on year since inception from 2009.
Mm-hmm.
So it has gone up every year, except a couple of years, but on average, 375%. And it continues to grow.
Okay.
I remember the day it was $2.
Yeah.
Now it's 50,000.
Wow.
It will go higher.
All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, I want to ask you, there was a big event over the weekend, I think a crash or something, right? I mean, crash might be a serious word, but there was a...
Absolutely.
What those type things mean, should you be terrified as a result of those type things, and what the future holds. And we're going to find out what you do with your Bitcoin. If you don't mind us asking your private business there, Theo Savousis, we're going to get back to this wonderful conversation in just a bit. This is Morning Blend Business on Guardian Radio 96.9.
Fidelity, the holidays are all about family, spending time with loved ones, and being thankful for the little things in life. Worrying about bills should be the last thing on your mind, especially during the holidays. Let Fidelity help you get your bills under control. Fidelity can also get you started with a real savings plan that actually pays you interest. The only thing you need to think about is what you will do with the savings in your pocket this Christmas. Now that's what I'm talking about. Fidelity Bank is here for you this holiday season because you are family and family is important to us.
This traffic report is brought to you by Shield Insurance and Prudential Loss Adjusters.
Final look at traffic this morning. We can see the assistance given to Somalia by the highway is working. Though you've got a lengthy traffic line on Tawny Swinney and Darling, that even shortened up as well. You've got both areas of traffic that have come down significantly within the last 30 minutes or so. So there's no lengthy line on Somalia Butler at this point. You still got a little bit of wait time getting out, but the same thing is happening on Tawny Swinney and Darling. And given a few minutes, all that will be gone. Still got a lengthy line on Gladstone Road attempting to get up there onto JFK. And over on Carmichael Road, just a minor flow getting to the Blue Hill Road traffic light, and the run along Blue Hill Road is pretty good at this time too. Well, we do have hefty traffic lines is on the Independence Highway, both the west lane going into the Blue Hill Road roundabout and the east lane going into that East Street roundabout. That gives us slow down a bit on the East Street traffic that's heading into the city coming in from the deep south. Familiar congestions are in the street, as we can see on Marathon Road for the traffic that's heading into the city. And what's on Soldier Road headed into that Wolf Road traffic light? What we don't have coming into that Wolf Road intersection are the hefty traffic lines of Vernon Road. Mind your traffic line is there, but it's not as heavy as it would have been on other mornings. Elsewhere, we see the island coming together. We see a buildup on JFK getting into the six-leg roundabout. Just a slow up to pass through there. The ride into the city along West Bay Street. One's clear of the Sound of Speech roundabout, though. Then your ride coming into the city is a slow one, but you're not having any congestions to deal with. But Eastern Road still got that heavy traffic flow coming out of the Fox Hill area along that route to get into Shirley Street, so your traffic line is still there. But that's gradually going to dissipate as it gets a bit later this morning. This National Traffic Report is a service of Audio Plus, your one-stop shop for music instruments, audio, and DJ equipment. Audio Plus on Soldier Road and a second location on Robinson Road, opposite Market Street. They're open 10 to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Call them at 394-6668. With your Riders Guide, look at traffic in real time. I'm Diego Millan.
Michael was in a horrible car accident. Prudential Loss Adjusters managed his claim and got him the settlement he deserved. Sierra's roof received hurricane damage. Thanks to Prudential, she and her kids are happy with their claim settlement. Tammy fractured her ankle in a slip and fall. Prudential saved her time, money, and peace of mind. Prudential Loss Adjusters are here for you whenever a tragedy strikes. Call 322-4026 now.
Protect the things that really matter to you. Shield Insurance is the insurance company that grows with you to meet your insurance needs through this beautiful adventure we call life. From automobile to home to life and health, boat, liability, construction and business insurance, Shield has affordable policies, flexible options, friendly service, and the expertise to protect your hard-earned assets. Shield Insurance agents and brokers in Nassau. Call 356-7202 or Freeport 352-5945.
Helping out each other, family and everybody. It's a simple act of kindness with you, me, and RBC.
RBC wants to spread acts of kindness during this festive season. One simple act of kindness for our friends, co-workers, and communities can cause the brightest smile. Help a stranger, give a food basket, or call an elderly person. Share your stories at facebook.com/RBC Caribbean.
Acts of kindness, RBC.
Janae's Christmas Wonderland is open under the Big Tent. Get 20 to 50% off selected Christmas decorations. Restrictions apply. Trees in pink, frosted green or white in a variety of sizes. LED and laser lights, a large variety of tree ornaments. Lighted angels, Santa tree toppers, bright and lively colored Christmas balls. Garlands, wreaths, red and white stringed cranberry. Tree skirts, stockings, and lots, lots more. Add flowers, picks, and decorative mesh to brighten up your home or office this holiday season. And don't forget the toys at Janae's Chesapeake Road. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Janae's Limited. WhatsApp 817-3295.
What does Christmas mean to you? What about making a loved one's face smile bright or driving your own car? CIBC First Caribbean gives you up to 100% financing on auto loans. Apply online and let our auto financing take you places this Christmas. Visit CIBCFCIB.com for more information. Terms and conditions apply.
You can win! You can win! Everybody can win with Esso this Christmas!
Win with Esso every week in the Fill Up and Win this Christmas promotion. Simply spend $25 or more in fuel, write your name, email, and telephone number on the back of your receipt and drop it in the entry box provided for your chance to win loads of weekly prizes. Promotion ends December 22nd, 2021. Terms and conditions apply. Visit bettergasmileage.com/fillupandwin for more details. The Esso brand is a trademark of ExxonMobil Corporation and is used under license.
Colombian Emeralds International is at it again with their super sale of the year. 50% plus 20% from December 1st through December 25th. And as a token of appreciation, with any purchase over $500, you will receive a fabulous gift while supplies last. Visit any of our locations, Rawson Square, Paradise Island, and in Freeport, Port Lucaya Marketplace. Some restrictions apply. Sales on selected items.
Let me ask you a few questions. What's your name?
Pam.
Favorite food?
Steak.
Beer or wine?
Wine.
Is your
your money safe.
It's under my bed, I guess so.
Are you serious?
Yeah, why?
Unless your money is in a bank or credit union that's a member of the Deposit Insurance Corporation, there's no guarantee it's safe.
Yeah, but what if something happens to the bank?
Your Bahamian dollar deposits are insured up to $50,000, so you'd still be ahead. Plus, your mattress might catch fire. Then what?
Man, those banks and credit unions are looking good right about now.
Visit the DIC's website at www.dic.bs. Protection for your money, guaranteed with DIC.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
It's time for your morning business report brought to you by CFAL. While the vast majority of Americans are traveling domestically for the upcoming holiday season, for those who are opting for international travel, the Bahamas is a top 10 destination, according to a survey conducted by global travel insurance company Allianz Partners USA, which scoured millions of round-trip travel bookings for flights departing U.S. airports in the last 2 weeks of December. While 87% of U.S. travel will be domestic, 13% of itineraries are for international departures from the U.S., in which the Bahamas was the seventh destination choice. You can read more about this in today's Guardian Business section. The Island House has begun its period of rebound with an 80% occupancy rate projected throughout this month and full occupancy into January. That's according to one of the hotel's owners and managers, Lauren Holoesco Perez. She says the property's membership program has seen big growth in recent weeks. You can read more about it in today's Guardian Business section. And the pandemic has shed light on the urgency to rethink and redefine national policies through greater consultation and consensus building with citizens. That's according to a recent report by the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, the OECD, in conjunction with the UN Economic Commission for Latin America and the Caribbean. They're urging Latin American and Caribbean governments to use fiscal, social, and production transformation policies as part of building a new social contract. In your Market Watch, recapping trading on the BISX from Friday, market movers, Cable Bahamas moving 839 shares, closing unchanged at 313. Bahamas Waste moving 1,000, unchanged at 925. Galena Holdings moving 3,000, unchanged at $7. Commonwealth Bank moving 8,800, up 2 cents to 277. Consolidated Water unchanged at 213. Emira Incorporated unchanged at 1124. The BISX All Share Index closing at 2,131.09, up 2.62. That's your Market Watch, and that is your morning business report brought to you by CFAL, growing wealth for future generations. And tune in tonight to CFAL Talks right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 at 6:30 p.m. And we are back here with Morning Blend Business on Guardian Radio 96.9. Dwight Strawn along with Pamela Musgrove. We are having a very enlightening discussion with Theo Savousis about Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. We're going to have you back clearly because we're almost out of time and we have only scratched the surface here. But Pam had a great question off air. I want you to ask that one on air definitely because I think that will shed a lot of light into what people wanted to know to help understand how this works.
So the question was, if I have 1,000 bitcoins in my wallet today, what does that mean?
It means you're one of the richest people in the world. You would have almost $50 billion.
What? Mm-hmm. All right, so how much would it cost to get 1,000? Really? $50 billion? That's how much?
That's the market price.
So what's the cheapest amount? What's the starting price for a bitcoin?
Whatever it's worth on the market.
On that day.
Right, but I'm a small investor.
Right.
You know, I've been saving, and I have $2,000 in my bank account now. I'm not getting any interest on the bank, and I don't need this money right now, so I want to buy some bitcoins. How much can I buy with $2,000?
Can you get anything?
Sure, of course. See, the thing is that a lot of people misunderstand. They think that you got to find $50,000 to go buy one Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. You can buy a fraction of a Bitcoin. Uh-huh. You can buy $10 worth of Bitcoin. It's divided into 100,000 segments mm-hmm. per Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. And the smallest denomination is called a Satoshi. Mm-hmm. And so you can buy $100 worth of Bitcoin. You can buy $1,000 worth of Bitcoin. All you have to do is find a way to send the money to an exchange. Mm-hmm. And so if you can't do it with credit card, you can do it by wiring the funds to that exchange.
So with $2,000, I probably get like something like 0.00000001. Bitcoins.
You would get, well, yeah, you can do the calculation.
I'm just saying, yeah, because it seems like it's...
How much would that be worth?
$2,000.
Today, okay. Right?
Today.
But we don't know what Bitcoin right. is worth. Bitcoin is in price discovery. Mm-hmm. That's why it's so volatile. Mm-hmm. You know, we have these huge market swings. I mean, just in 1 week, we've yeah. seen Bitcoin drop by 30%.
People right. calling it a crash.
Yeah.
But what happened over the weekend, last weekend, over the yeah. weekend?
So, basically, these are caused by fear and doubt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody can trigger this because the Bitcoin as total market cap is less than $1 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's fairly easy to swing the price if you own a lot of Bitcoin. You can sell and cause the price to drop. You can buy more and cause the price to go up. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is from time to time we have shakeouts, and the shakeouts are when the strong hands buy out those, the weak hands, mm-hmm. those who sell, mm-hmm. those who sell in panic. And so what is going on is that we have got tremendous institutional adoption of Bitcoin. This yeah. is the first time we have seen such adoption. I mean, take a look at Tesla that put in $1.5 billion. They bought $1.5 billion of Bitcoin to put on their balance sheet.
Wow.
What do you think Tesla would do with that? Like, why would Tesla want, just as a company, want something like that? What can they do with those monies, those Bitcoin?
You get Bitcoin as a hedge against inflation.
Okay.
You hold dollars on your balance sheet mm-hmm. and the value is going down. That makes no sense.
Wow. So Bitcoin is the new gold.
Yeah.
Bitcoin is viewed as gold 2.0.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. So we've got less than a minute. So what are you doing with yours? Are you making it work? Are you getting paid in Bitcoin for things? Do you sell it? Do you trade? What do you do?
I will have to come back to tell you because it's a big subject. Now we're going to go into DeFi.
Yeah.
Decentralized finance.
Okay.
Which is going to change the world completely.
Okay. And so with Bitcoins, you don't need central bank approval, right?
You don't need no permission from okay. no bank, no country, no one. It is permissionless.
Wild, wild west.
You said that earlier. It really does sound like that. Should we be afraid the cowboy's going to come and take all your stuff?
If you guard your property well, you guard your keys,
yeah.
you know what you're doing, you're fine.
Okay. All right. So we're going to have you back.
Okay.
We're going to work out a date because we need to continue this conversation and show people how this can work for them. I mean, this is exciting, but terrifying.
Show them how it can work for them.
But Theo Savousis, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Like we said, we scratched the surface, but we might have to do a series with you.
That would be awesome. Yeah? I look forward to it. Thank you
very much,
Dwight,
for being here this morning.
Thank you, Pamela.
Thank you.
Awesome. You're gonna be away from us for a little bit?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So
in the new year.
But you'll before the holidays, before we do our wrap up show,
yes.
you'll be back by that time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So
Mondays.
Okay.
So, on the Monday.
All right. So thank you
Bless
very much.
Bahamas.
I'll be back tomorrow morning with more Morning Blend and Morning Blend Business right here on Guardian Radio 96.9. Twice Tron, have a great day. Stay tuned for On the Clock with Aaron Green coming up next.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.